morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM. That be the phone number. Teresa Strasser here doing the news. Dave Damashek with his number one sports.
Hungover.
Really?
That's right.
What'd you do last night?
I went out for a few belts with some fellas, including your old pal, the sports guy, Bill Simmons.
Boy, we'll get into that. What? Speaking of belts.
Yes.
I just wanted to say one thing real quick. It reminded me. I saw Big Tad in the hall. Usually you don't see the hall when you see Big Tad. You just see Big Tad.
Eclipsing the rest of the hall.
What happened to the rest of the hall?
I saw the hall around behind Big Tad.
Well, I saw you saw the backside of the hall because you were coming the other direction. Me just saw stopped up.
Yes.
I got a run at him and made it broke through to your side like a Sylvester Stallone movie from the 80s.
Adam, can you hear my voice?
Dave, I'm running out of oxygen. Big Tad broke wind.
We will get to you. We will find a way through this behemoth.
I'll tap twice for yes, once for no. Yeah. So Big Tad was out there. Now, I gave him for his birthday a bottle of Dom Perignon champagne.
Ooh, classy.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's a class move.
And was it a regift?
I don't think so, but I don't know. I got to be honest. I'll go out. I have money, but I don't have time.
Right.
So for me, $120 is fine. It's a nice box. I can get on the corner. Sometimes I'll go pick up two or three and just hand them out during that time of the year, whatever it is. It's fine. But I realize for a lot of the people I give it to, Tad, who's used to drinking the champagne of beers, Miller, will not crack the thing. He actually said to me, what am I going to do with this? And I realize I do it with my own family, too. I'll give my mom, who, you know, squirrels together every nut that's ever fallen and still has it sacked away in her cheek somewhere for a rainy day. They'll not open it. My grandmother, I'll give her a bottle. She'll not open it. My dad, because there's no occasion. When you don't make any money and you don't have any life, there's no occasion which is okay for you to open a $125 bottle of champagne. My plan is to go back and collect them after they pass. That's my whole thing. I put a little note on the inside of the thing that says, to Adam from whoever it is. I reverse it around, and then when I go back to the grieving families, I'll be collecting all my bottles that were never opened.
But in the meantime, it's a great trophy for Fat Tad, you know? Like, first of all, if he could ever lure a woman back to his place, first he has to get a place, and then once he gets a place, if he could lure them back, wow, Dom Perignon.
And then he goes, you know where I got it?
Yeah, right.
I
got Adam a little Carolla. Note. Look at who it's signed by.
Right, except for, again, they'll not drink it because they'll say, let's save it till our second date, till our third date, till our engagement, till our honeymoon. They'll never do it. They'll do it, and meanwhile, I'll go back and collect. Don't drink that, Big Tad.
Yeah, I really have no idea where I'm going to take that.
That's my whole point. First off, you need a hot chick.
Yes.
You can't just drink $130 champagne home alone at your mom's house, your grandma banging on the door asking if you're masturbating.
I could.
Okay. Well, I'm betting you won't. That's all I'm saying. And when the family goes, when Tad goes, when the friends go, I'm swinging by. Well, I'll probably send somebody over to come pick up all that stuff. And then I'll open it.
I got him a 2-liter thing of A&W root beer, which he covets much more than the $125
That's gone, by the way. Thank you very much.
He immediately just popped a nipple on the end of it and started nursing. All right, Sherman Helmsley is on the phone, the great Sherman Helmsley. From the Surreal Life 6. VH1 Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. Sherman, you there?
Good morning. Yes. Hey, how you doing?
Ooh.
Who's this?
I think we have a bad connection, Sherman. This is Adam Carolla.
Oh, wow. Well, tell me, how is it now?
It's marginally. Ooh, I was about to say it was better, but now, are you on a cell phone?
Yeah.
Hmm. Maybe that's the problem. Do you have a landline?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Do you not have one at your home? Because certain people don't have that. I'm surprised.
I'm sorry, I don't.
Really? In your house? Just a cell phone?
He's a 21st century man.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe this is a good time to lead into this question. I was watching The Surreal Life last week, the one where you guys went to the radio station, or I should say the television station, the local television station, and put on the news and the sports and did a whole newscast, and I noticed you were being subtitled.
Subtitled?
Yes, they actually printed out what you were saying underneath you.
Yeah, and a lot of times they couldn't understand me. I guess I mumbled.
Wow. I would. But you weren't drunk or anything, were you?
I don't think so.
Oh, all right.
Definitely.
I would be offended at that.
Oh, no, I don't get offended.
You all right?
I see them do it to other people, too. A lot of times when something's not, you can't understand it, they just do that subtitles.
All right. Well, it's I'm a big fan of yours from way back, from the Jeffersons, and you know before that, All in the Family. How'd that all get started?
With the Surreal Life?
No, all in the Family.
Oh, All in the Family. I started out All in the Family. See, I was on Broadway, and Norman Lear came to see me in the production of Pearlie on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of liked something. He said he liked something of my personality, and he wanted to give me a screen test. So I did a screen test for him, and it was about. 2 or 3 years later before I even got the All the Family thing, because I was, by that time, early closed. I went to another production of another show, and I was in San Francisco at the time. I just happened to call down CBS, and they were looking for me. I had no idea.
I got to say this about All in the Family. That show holds up. I saw an episode about 3 days ago on whatever cable station they were replaying it on, and it really holds up. I don't know, it just sounds like I'm kissing ass. Certain shows don't hold up. Certain songs don't hold up. Certain design doesn't hold up. Certain cars you thought were cool or certain structures you thought were cool. Even certain uniforms and things like that. But All in the Family holds up to the point where it's better than whatever's on now, which you really can't say for almost anything else. Sometimes you go back and you watch even great shows like MASH, and they feel a little dated and a little preachy.
Mm-hmm. I understand, right? Yeah, well, that's all Norman Lear. You know, he knew how to structure things. And we didn't date anything. Everything is it's the same now as it was then, as far as the problems we have, you know.
Did Lear do...
Good actor.
Norman Lear did the Jeffersons as well?
Well, the same writers, yes. Norman, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to say still holds up. The Jeffersons, George's arguments with Florence are still the best.
Still hilarious.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
And in 1999, I'm just reading on my card here, you filed for bankruptcy.
Right.
What happened? It seems like you had so many good years, so many good earning years.
Well, 1999, that was what I filed. I don't think I really, I didn't file it then. I didn't do it until 2002.
Did they pay back? I mean, obviously they didn't. You must projectile vomit when you hear about Tim Allen getting $4 million an episode, or Jerry Seinfeld, or whatever in today's sitcom. I mean, especially when you hear about George Lopez and now just signed some multi-million dollar per episode deal. Even the shows that seem to be sort of middle of the road in the funny department, but they've made it 3 or 4 seasons, and now everyone's a millionaire. What were you getting when you were doing the Jeffersons?
When I was getting the Jeffersons, my top pay was $125 a week, an episode.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, if you can see.
It's the last 3 years.
Last 3 years, and this is, what are we into now? We're into the early 80s?
11 years.
Yeah, something like that.
11, was it on, was the Jeffersons on for 11 years?
Yep, 11 years.
Wow, I forgot it was on that long.
Yeah,
I mean, it was on twice as long as All in the Family, right?
I think All in the Family was 7 or 8, I'm not sure.
Wow. I thought it would have been about 7 or 8 myself on the Jeffersons. So you're making $125 an episode.
It's a lot of scratch.
Yeah, and you guys are doing 22 episodes a year?
26 back then.
26. And so we're talking about, again, like mid-80s? It's pretty good.
Yeah, mid-80s.
What the hell did you declare bankruptcy for?
I didn't declare bankruptcy in the mid-80s. In 99.
Right. But yeah, I'm just saying, should have had enough padding. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I know, I should have, yeah.
All right. Now, how are you doing for money now, Sherman?
I'm fine. Everything is cool.
You're good. And then now, do you get residuals and things like that still?
Yeah. All right.
All right. And Surreal Life.
Mm-hmm.
I love that show. I've watched them all. Why do you do it, by the way? Is it for the money? Is it for the thrills? Is it for the fun?
Well, this was supposed to be, when they explained to me, I was supposed to do it originally when it first started.
Mm-hmm.
I said I didn't know the show until I saw those episodes, and then I fell in love with the show myself. And then I talked to the producers, and they said it was just a show just to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to getting in there trying to drag you through the mud or something, you know. So,
right.
Okay. And it was great. And then I was lucky enough. It was exciting, you know.
Yeah. Who do you hate who's on the show?
I don't hate anybody.
Really? Who do you dislike very strongly?
I was very lucky. Excuse me?
You didn't wage war with anyone in there?
No.
No arch rivals.
I was curious who you really liked in the house.
Mm.
Like, I like everybody, to be honest with you. Like, Adrian and I, used to talk a lot.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was a different age, so everybody was just cool people. Everybody was sort of respectful of one another.
Well, say who you lived with. You know, Tawny Catane. Yeah. Who all was holed up in there with you?
Tawny Catane, Steve Harwell, Maven. Adrian Lowell, what's the other one? Tawny Catane and Cece DeVille.
Yeah, who looks much better.
Alexis Burkett.
Tawny Catane, though, a kook, yes?
Well, she has her moments, you know. She's got problems, but she wants to be in the camera and stuff, do things. I don't know. She's just a little different.
Get the subtitles, huh?
Okay,
just says bitch.
That's what I read into it. Camera hogging bitch.
Yeah, so Sherman, again, I don't like to harp on the dollars because that's not what I'm about. But do they pay? Because I'm just curious because I think I've been asked to do this show myself, and one day may take them up on it. Do they pay you okay on a show like this?
Okay, yeah.
Here's
favorite nations. So
right. So everyone gets paid the same.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, here's the thing that I don't know if a lot of people understand is it's hard to tell. There's certain things you can do in Hollywood where you do a commercial and you get 500 grand, you get $1 million. Certain things are good money gigs. And then there's other things, like when Jon Stewart hosted the Oscars, he got paid like 20 grand. Or whatever it was, it's one of those just nominal, you know, you should be glad to do it kind of thing. So there's certain gigs, obviously when you're doing a commercial, you're doing it for the money. But then there's other gigs like hosting an award show or being part of a show like this that's a slice of life kind of show.
Right.
They don't pay you like they pay you on a sitcom.
Oh, no. Well, you know, it's good. Decent money. It was fun. Plus, they take such good care of you.
Okay. All right.
We had a good. You know, I just wish they could show the whole thing. You know, from moments, from minutes, from first time we got there, all through it, because we did great. We had some laughs, big laughs. We laughed most of the time.
Well, we'll be watching Sunday night at 9:00. The Surreal Life 6 VH1. Sherman Helmsley, thanks for being part of the show.
My pleasure, brother.
Appreciate it.
By the way, I meant that. I wanted to ask him, you know, Carol Brady, Mrs. Brady, Florence Henderson's on the show. She plays like the mother. It'd be fantastic if those two got together.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? What a scale. That'd be scandalous.
And imagine the sitcom genes the kid would have.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Destined for sitcom greatness.
Absolutely.
That kid could deliver a punchline and make it sing.
125 grand an
That's
episode.
A lot. What happened with.
I'm not so sure. Somebody talks you in. Here's the whole thing. Here's the best, you know, because I made some money myself and I had no money. If you have no money and you start off with no money, then you're associated with people who have no money. That's the way it is. You don't grow up making nothing and having nothing and surrounded by super rich people. You have your immediate family, which has nothing, hence you have nothing. Then as you get a little older, you go to a school with people that have nothing. Right. Then eventually, when you don't go to college, you begin cleaning carpets or scrubbing floors with a bunch of flunkies that have nothing. So everyone in your immediate environment has nothing because you have nothing, and that's just the way it works. So then if by chance you do get something, now you are the one person with something in a sea of tards that has nothing. If I get too cathartic here, stop me.
No,
but
let it out.
Point is the best money spent, because the way these guys lose their money is their uncle talks them into a deal where they're going to open a chain of kebab shops, but frozen kebab. Pop kebab shops. He has a crazy idea, his Middle Eastern uncle, for kebab pop. And this is going to be great. Nothing like frozen lamb. And he gives him money, and of course the thing goes under, and then he has his grandmother, who never did get insurance, who needs an operation, and she gets a little something, and then Oswaldo comes in because his brother from Nicaragua. All right, hold on.
Wait, Sherman Hemsley?
I'm sorry. Here's my point. Best money spent. Have everyone killed early. Get rid of the troublemakers early.
I wasn't expecting that. I thought you were going to say the best money is when you spend it on those who need it and that you love.
Yeah.
Zag.
Like the drifter you hired to kill the family and friends. This guy, you do a bulk rate thing. Sure, you want dad put in the ground. That's going to cost you $1,500. But if you start adding family members and then you start adding friends and neighbors and folks you went to high school with, eventually you get that group. You get that group rate like they got over at Knott's Berry Farm. You know, it's down to pennies a head. You gotta take 40, 50 people out, but they're gone and you're scot-free now. You have to keep all your money. That's where the money should be spent. Early and often, getting rid of the troublemakers. And you just move ahead. No uncles with crazy schemes. No family members who are trying to adopt and need a couple extra bucks to get the kid over from the Philippines. Yes?
Yes. And all occasionally, right. You know, someone hires their cousin to be their accountant. He's never really done it before.
Disaster. Spend the smart money, have the cousin killed. Spend the money, have him killed. Much better.
It's like Tom Cruise in Collateral.
Yes.
Goes around town all one night.
Yeah. Yes.
Takes them all
out. That's how you do it. Do it one night. And also, it's great for the talk shows, too. You know, I heard your entire family was killed by a hobo. Stuff to talk about. Wow. So much strength and dignity. Yeah.
They would have wanted me to go on.
Yeah. You want to go to the Ivy after this? Got plenty of cash in my pockets. Burn a hole. All right. We will take ourselves a break. Oh, we got a little update for you. Speak about work. You know, I'm not just here blabbing about killing my family. I'm actually doing something on this radio show. We have the Elisa Eberwine, my arch nemesis from US Air. She's calling in. I've changed. I have a channel on the phone. I'm sorry, on the airplane stereo system now.
The headphone thing.
The headphone things, yes. Oh. Yes. Well, I'll fill you in about the great work I've done after this.
It's time now for free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Tony, I am 5 months pregnant with my second baby. At a recent family wedding, my husband's 40th cousin came up to me and touched my stomach. I instinctively shooed her hands away. Well, she was offended and burst into tears. I apologized, although I thought it was very rude and that she should have apologized to me. What do you say, Martha in the Midwest?
Dear Martha, your husband's cousin should have asked if you minded before putting her hands on your stomach. Under the circumstances, your reaction was normal. After the baby arrived, this incident will be forgotten, as it should be. Sometimes, dose of amnesia can have a positive effect on a family relationship. You know what? Everything happens in playfulness. It probably was an accident. I hope you get over it.
The advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
I think Lights Out may have got off copy there just at the very end when he sort of summed it up. I think he did a little freestyling.
When you go 12 rounds with other heavyweight people hitting you in the head, you know, he has a perspective. Everything's not such a big deal. Just get over it, lady.
Right. You got your belly padded by a 50-year-old woman. I'm getting whacked in the head by Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, settle down over there.
Yeah, really. Good point. That's put things into perspective. Elise Eberwine is on the phone. She is the senior vice president of corporate communications for US Air. US Air, I should say. Mike, you doing all right there, buddy? You look like panic. Here's how this all started before we speak to Elise. I have been traveling for quite some time and doing a fair amount of travel, and I fly back and forth, East Coast, West Coast, all the time. I'm up in first class, as I should be. Actually, there should be a class above that for me. The point is I like to sleep on a plane, as most people do. I would say that most people who take a flight, and the flight is over 4 hours, especially if you're going 6 hours back and forth to the coast, most people are going to want to sleep at least an hour and a half, possibly 2 hours out of that 6 hours. It's just the way travel seems to work. Either you're hungover from the day before, or it's one of those things where you have to leave at 5:30 in the morning to make your flight, and you had a long night the night before. Either way, there's always that proclamation on the way to the airport, I'll catch a few Z's on the plane, because sometimes you hit the ground running when you get to wherever you are. Now, it would be easy to do that because the plane is almost has a little school bus vibe to it. It's like a little motion to it. It's good for sleeping except for the part where you can't drown out the ambient noise. There's carts going up and down. There's kids crying. There's business going on. That's why they have the headphones. You can put the headphones on and you can drift off in your own world because they have 14 different stations on these airplanes and they produce the stations. They create the stations. It's not like there's an antenna hanging, there's no rabbit ears hanging off the top of the plane. They make their own stations and they program them. And I guess if you're doing this, you have to have a wide variety for the wide variety of people that are traveling.
So seems like a nice idea.
Yeah, of course you have the country
right,
music.
There's always the country. That's safe.
And then there's this sort of comedy one, but it's sort of sterilized and never seems too funny.
Not updated
bits,
since 1981.
Yeah,
the bits
like,
are
oh,
lame.
Billy Crystal was funny in 1986.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of lame. And then there's a sort of a country and a half station, another one that's sort of newer style, country, western, whatever. Then there's the sort of generic rocky kind of thing. Then there's a sort of soft rock thing.
Kenny G spotlight.
Right. And by the way, that stupid saxophone that looks like you're playing a man's penis, who signed off on this thing 11 years ago and said, more, more, more? I walk around through the mall. I walk down the hall. Everywhere I go, I hear that gay sax.
What, the alto sax?
Whatever the one Kenny G plays is. The
I think
point,
it's been around longer than
maybe
11
it's the way
years.
He no. plays it.
It's been around for 200 years. The good news is we didn't have to hear it before 1989. Now, it's on, baby. Somebody decided nothing cooler in the world than the saxophone, nothing gayer in the world than the alto saxophone.
Cool looking and cool in general when John Coltrane played it, but Kenny G with the with the poodle here.
A disaster. The point is this ubiquitous sax that I hate, this music. So all I want to do is go to sleep. So I do put it on the classical station, and the classical is fine, because it's conducive to sleep, except for, first off, they're all over the map, because they go from this to John Philip Sousa and the marches and the cannons and things going off and the overtures, and it's a disaster. And then, just as you're dozing off, so here's how it works. Some classical, I'll turn this off, drown out the world. Then this blowhard comes on.
That, of course, was Air on the G String from Johann Sebastian Bach's Orchestral Suite in D, scored for four-part string orchestra.
Now I'm up. What's
this brief movement, a gem of lyric melody,
okay,
quiet counterpoint, and the masterful.
All right, Winchester, let's just get back to the strings so I can go back to bed.
Poignant, inward feeling, arranged for violin solo and piano arrangement in the German violinist August Wilhelm.
Yes.
Transpose into C. The entire solo part.
The super blowhard comes on and gives a goddamn dissertation on classical music in general. An entire he gives an entire learning annex afternoon. He stuffs in.
Wait, is that real or is that a bit? Is this really the?
It's based on a true story. There's 6 minutes of classical music, 3.5 minutes worth of Winchester, 4 minutes of classical music. 3 minutes worth of Winchester. They keep coming in, telling you what you're listening to. Meanwhile, I keep popping up, and I'm aggravated. So I go to the next station, and that's just the horrible New Age country stuff. And I think to myself, you guys don't have one goddamn station that's conducive to sleeping on your airplane? You have 14 stations. Not one, all of your design, not one conducive to people sleeping. And by the way, if you fall asleep on the flight, you save millions of dollars a year as a company, as an airline. Everyone, you should hope everyone's just sawing logs. They're not hitting the button, calling the stewardess. They don't want to freshen up on the drink. They're not using the head. They're
not
just
eating
asleep.
The Fiesta mix.
Right.
Yes, they're just asleep. But yet, nobody has thought of this. It's not on any airline. I've traveled them all. I always look for them. I've suggested this for years. It's never happened until now. That's right. Elise Eberwine?
Good morning.
Good morning. The money I'm going to save U.S. Airways with this idea of mine.
Yeah, I'm still fascinated by the class above first class, the Corolla class.
Please. That'll be that'll be our next mountain to climb, ace class. That's right.
She opens right out of the gate with a zinger. Here they are.
Yeah.
Hepburn and Tracy it together again.
Yes, Mr. Corolla, what would you like, the hammock or the pilot's lap? Let's see. What am I in the mood for today? Yes, that's what the Corolla. Corolla class will be all hammocks. It'll be a tropical setting.
Corolla class, party of one.
Party of one. Just a hammock, two palm trees actually forced
hot
into the airplane.
Fly free.
That's right. Elise, you have, you and I have had our differences in the past. You try to defend your airline. I attack it, but you know I'm right.
You sass each other, but you know what? Can't you two see that you're in love?
There's a spark here. There's definitely a spark.
Oh, I think there's a healthy respect.
Yes, yes. And, you guys have been kind enough to let me design a channel of my own for sleep on your, is it only U.S. Airways?
Yeah, I'll be on U.S. Airways and all of our international flights.
Mm-hmm. And it goes into effect when?
May and June.
May or June or May and June?
May and June. It'll run for 2 months, and then we just need to talk about our future.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And why, Elise, you guys, it would behoove you guys, all people who run airlines for the passengers, to fall asleep during the flights, right?
Sleeping passengers make happy crew members.
Right. And commercial air travel's been around for 60 years, and the headphones have been around for about 40 years.
Sure.
I know you thought it was 20 years last time we spoke because you're an expert, but that would have made it 1986.
Thank you.
Point is this. 40 years of programming, at least 40 years of you guys programming and piping in music to an airplane, and no one has thought about getting the passengers to sleep?
Well, remember, when people started flying and when jet service came to be, it was, you know, people didn't get on the plane to sleep. They got on the plane, they dressed
cigarettes.
Up,
right.
They were excited,
right.
They wanted to look around.
That was for 18 months between 1957 and 1959. Then they wanted to sleep, and so for the next 39 years, you guys didn't think of this idea.
True enough, until you came along.
But and really, I really do, there's some ideas to me, and I, you know, it sounds like I'm blowing sunshine up myself, but there's some ideas to me that sound so profoundly obvious with all the airlines and all the minds and all the suits and all the analysts that when I think of them, I think, well, obviously they thought of this. Somebody must have thought of this 30 years ago. As a matter of fact, multiple companies must have thought of this. There's some reason that I can't think of that they're not doing it. Maybe there's some regulation or something. But as it turns out, no. Just everyone was so goddamn stupid they never thought of this.
Or else you were just so smart you thought of it. That might be a better way to look at it.
When I look back and I see inventions like the Recyclarola or the heated sofa or the male behymen, we'll get into that with Board Out Bill in a minute. Point is, those are brilliant ideas. This is a layup. This is a no-brainer.
When history is told, you know, and they talk about aviation in this country, it'll go Wright Brothers,
Howard Hughes,
Adam Carolla.
That's right.
I'm waiting for the next great idea.
And Elise.
Well, first thing we do is capitalize on this one. So we have what I recorded. Okay, so what we have, now these things are on a loop, right, every 2 hours?
Right.
There's a loop. So what I did is a little preamble at the beginning, explaining what it was, and then we're going to hear a selection that I personally had my assistant pick out of...
personally.
Yes. Personally had my assistant pick out of soothing... By the way, you guys, not to mention Winchester, when I say you guys, Elise, I don't mean you, I mean the airline industries collectively.
Sure.
You guys not only on the classical station put the stupid blowhard Winchester in between every goddamn song, you had no idea in terms of song selection which ones were the most soothing, and you would put the most soothing ones up against the loudest marches.
You don't want Wagner when you're trying to sleep.
Yeah, I know, because you picture Bruce Willis running through the thing with a torn shirt, barefoot, trying to get into the cabin. This is what happens to your brain as you're sleeping. You're entering some form of RAM, and all of a sudden you're hearing this. You're picturing fire coming from the tail section and terrorists and Stinger missiles and stuff. Yeah. All right, let's play what I have. First, we'll do the top part.
Now, this is for
this
real.
This is Adam
This
Carolla.
For real.
I'm going to make this brief, because if you've tuned to this station, it's because you want to sleep. And I can promise you 90 minutes of uninterrupted, beautiful, sleep-friendly music. It's time for Adam Carolla to leave and enter Sandman.
I know, you thought you were going to hear a song there from there's a band that sings that song.
Metallica. But that's relaxing.
Yeah. And so it's 90 minutes then. Or do I have to re-record that?
It's 90 minutes.
Oh, okay. So it's not 2 hours.
It'll loop 90 minutes.
All right. And then what you'll get, now what songs, do you have a couple that I picked out and had my assistant pick out?
Oh, you've got Naturescapes.
Oh.
Some Water Sounds.
Imagine that.
White Noise.
Some soothing classical.
Imagine, though, you want to get some sleep on the plane and you get to tune in.
Seems a little creepy with the birds, though.
Like you've lost pressure in the cabin and some birds have been sucked in.
That's the best message.
You've landed on an island somewhere.
Yeah, we just had a flock of pelicans get sucked through the number 3 and number 2 engine. The right wing's on fire.
Don't be concerned.
No, seriously.
Go back to sleep.
Seriously, though, you're on the plane. You put this on.
Soothing.
Yeah, like they make those sharper image machines with the different sounds to sleep to, like the train and the wind.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Now, 90 minutes of this. Oh, people. You know what? You know what you need to do? You are going to need to outfit all your stewardesses with butterfly nets to catch the Z's that are floating around the cabin. Oh, my, the whip. Imagine me, a couple Bloody Marys, an Ambien.
Yep.
Blow off just a little tension in the bathroom over there. It's a ritual. And then...
What?
We're going to start charging for that.
Oh.
Not in Corolla class. That comes with...
Corolla class. I'll just roll over my hammock and take care of my own business. All right, Elise. So this is going to run starting in May.
Starting in May.
And then you'll get the feedback.
We will get feedback and I'll send that along.
All right. And if you... Tell me, and if you can find me, and if you get any negative feedback, and you get some jackass that wants to hear more Kenny G, or more of that crappy new wave country, or more the blowhard Winchester guy in between his classical music, you feed them right to me, because I want a piece of that idiot.
And then Adam's assistant will take care of him.
That's right.
Yeah, personally.
That's right. Thank you. Elise Eberwein, Senior Vice President of Corporate Communications from U.S. Airways. And let me praise Elise and U.S. Airwaves for being open enough, smart enough, and brilliant enough to recognize my brilliance. Yes.
Yeah.
Here's what, you know, I've gotten this conversation with my wife, but lots of people. Stop fighting with me. I'm not saying this because I'm going to start an airline. This is a good idea. Take it. This is what you do. Imagine this. One station. By the way, you have 12... 13 or 14 stations in the air. Just one for sleeping.
And these ideas, by the way, you're giving them away.
Yes. Now, I swear to God, the airline industry is in trouble. And if you could get, and I don't know how these numbers work, but there's X amount of domestic flights, X amount of international flights per day, per week, per month. If a certain percentage of the people that were in your aircraft, just 5%, 10%, 7%, would nod off for an extra 45 minutes of flight times, however many thousand flights you have per month, what does that translate into dollar-wise?
Savings.
Big savings.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if the airline industry could save 3% on fuel, it would translate into millions of dollars a month, right?
Yes.
Okay. Take it. It's free.
So generous.
Yes, the captain has turned on the no Winchester sign.
That's right. Big blowhard. All right, let's take ourselves a break. We'll come back. Ooh, more exclusive audio from Zacharias Moussaoui. The trial's heating up. We have What Can Adam Complain About coming up? Well, I can check this off the list finally.
Wow.
Complain about this. And by the way, I did complain about this to airline officials many years ago.
So this is an ongoing frustration.
Yes.
Now, by the way, if we're going to play a little What Can Adam Complain About?
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, this is the game where you prove your dominance as the world's greatest complainer. Mm-hmm. You can complain about anybody can complain about you know, terrorism and such.
Sure.
You complain about teddy bears.
I ironically have no problem with terrorism, but no one's ever given it to me yet.
So, but people have to call in and give you these things, these impenetrable things.
That's
most
right.
Most people can't complain about them, but except for the gold medal champion of complainers, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, that's the beauty of me.
Beer, you can complain about. Big boobs.
Anything.
Pizza.
Anastasia, the beautiful surfer, I could complain about. I don't want to tip my hand, but I can complain about anything. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of the new taped release from the Massawi trial after this.
Were there an Olympic event for complaining, you, sir, would be the gold medalist.
Thank you, my friend. What is your topic?
Special Olympics.
Well, that's an easy one. First off, the coverage is horrible on ESPN, too.
Rachel Perry's breath.
You know, I like to go bigger than that, but it works nicely.
Family Guy.
I'm not on it this year.
The greatest American novel, The Great Gatsby.
And what is that? The Great Gatsby sounds like a magician. Sounds like a gay magician. Mm-hmm. Well, just an example of the many things I can complain about. Let's see, 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM, call in. Give me a topic. I defy you. I dare you to come up with something I can't complain about. All right, we will get to that in just one moment. First, as promised, we've been keeping an eye on the Zacharias Massawi trial. It's heating up. A few weeks back, he got on the stand and just started running at the mouth, talking about wanting to fly a fifth plane into the White House, being happy that his comrades were able to have the success they had, taking down the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and so on and so forth.
In fact, yesterday, even celebrating, you know, that he loved hearing, you know, when the victims' families got on the, you know, they were heartbroken. And he said, I loved it. He essentially said, I reveled in their torment.
Yeah. No, we have something to do, but I want to digress for one second. Should we do this for these guys? You know what I mean? If a guy's a pedophile, do you just sit him in the courtroom and show a bunch of pictures of 9-year-old boys nude? Mm. Look at this. This is, meanwhile, the guy's got wood. Everyone else is outraged, except for the one guy who you'd like to be outraged. He's sporting wood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, Dave, we are going to punish you, and we are going to now show you highlights of the Steelers' 5 Super Bowl victories.
Yeah, no, what it is the guy's obviously out of his mind. He's a religious fanatic. Maybe it runs even deeper than that. He might have some legitimate psychological problems. The greatest moment in his life, his greatest victory in life is when those planes hit the trade centers and all the carnage and the destruction. I mean, this is what these guys live and literally die for, to sit there and have them comb through every name of the 3,000 and some odd victims, to hear the tears of the grieving family members whose wounds are just as fresh today as they were in 01. This has to be a sort of this is your life hits on parade for this guy.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I mean, he ordered some beer and nachos to make the viewing experience that much better.
Yeah, I mean, I really disagree with it. I don't think he should get the satisfaction of it. I think they should. It'd be nice if, it'd be nice if you just did it where you got a couple of actors and actresses to be like, these are the parents of a 26-year-old who was working on the 86th floor as a intern at one of the big brokerage houses. And it's like, yeah, Dan, we don't miss him. He was okay. I give him a 5 as a son. Anyway, we got a fat insurance settlement, so we're sitting pretty. He'd be PO'd at this point, yeah. Right? Instead of the tears and there's nothing that can bring him back, he's laughing. He loves it. You're feeding right into his plan. I don't know why we have to do this. And by the way, if we do end up killing him, which I hope we do, why go out this way? You know what I mean? It's almost a blaze of glory.
And besides this, it's all unnecessary because he has buried himself, you know, a million times over with his braggadocio about what he wanted to. He wished he could have been one of the flyers of the
right.
plane.
Yeah,
and
he's
so
done
on and so
a ton of damage. Much, much more. So if that wasn't enough, we have tapes. The stuff they won't play on the news. They're too scared.
It's worse than the things that he said in court.
It's actually worse than the part about flying. If he couldn't take whoever's in the jury box and make them even more against him, he's figured out a way to do it. We have exclusive tapes of it. Listen how outrageous this is.
I would go to the Smithsonian television exhibit, steal the jacket of your Fonzie, and wear it to pick up dudes at a rough trade leather bar.
Oh,
not Fonzie.
I'd to sneak into the World Series and switch the baseball that is used for the first pitch with a spiked Prussian helmet filled with phlegm.
Oh, imagine throwing that out.
The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile and drive it back and forth to simulate penetration on the St. Louis Arch and force special needs children to watch.
Okay, and I've heard enough. Rounding up the special needs children,
kids,
taking them out to the arch.
And the Wienermobile.
And then violating the arch that way with the Wienermobile. It sickens me. And thank God we got him when we did. Otherwise, who knows how many of these things would have come to fruition. Well, that's enough. There's no more, is there? There's more? It hurts, but I guess we have to listen.
Bush and give her another pearl necklace.
Oh, no.
If you know what I mean.
No.
I wished to steal the AIDS quilt and use it as a chamois to wash and dry Hitler's six-wheel car.
Okay. It's enough.
To kidnap Santa Claus. What do you mean? Well, where did all those gifts come from?
Wow.
My mother, she told me she ate the cookies. Oh, I am so disillusioned.
Wow, that came for a good. I'm glad that sticks its own
little
Santa,
bit. Finally, Santa, yeah.
Bit by his own snake. He backed right into that one. No, I, Santa.
I don't mind telling you. Good.
Yeah.
He's a jerk. He deserves it.
All right. Well, thank God that was all he said.
I don't want to say what I was going to do to the Alamo, but from then on, they'd be calling it the Alahomo.
No.
To fix a Harlem Globetrotters game so that the Washington Generals would win.
Oh.
I intended to go to Plymouth Plantation, pretend to be an Indian, and teach the settlers how to plant maize.
No!
You know what's weird? Musawi sounds a little like Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
A little bit when he says poop.
Yeah.
When he says
just
poop.
Just right then.
Yeah. And we don't, in fact, really even know who Triumph the Insult Dog
could
is.
Be?
Well, I'll tell you, we would blow the lid off that. If that was true, we would get some national press. There we get some ink if it turned out to be the same guy. And it's true. Haven't heard much from Triumph since they apprehended Masao.
It is true.
Interesting. Wow. Well, that, surely there's no more. There can't, one
no.
more? Okay.
I plan to erect a roller coaster at Six Flags over Atlanta called the mother dog raping licking ball s***ing ass biting thrower 2000.
Can you imagine the school kids going to ride that coaster, looking up and seeing that sign with all those F and S words going across it?
Plus, it's impractical. I mean, Six Flags, that would cost so much to make all those letters and lights. That was a long name for a roller coaster.
In 2000, a little dated, too.
Yeah, 2000. But yeah, who knows when this guy began his ghoulish schemes. Well, thank God he was apprehended. Now, like I said, if he didn't do enough damage with the fifth plane business, I surely sealed his fate now. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll play What Can't Adam Complain About, and then news, and then traffic. Robert Wall, comedian's coming in here.
Who's doing the traffic?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I'll talk about sports instead.
Yeah, I kind of tune out.
Either way.
Where did you go?
I go somewhere when he does the new trap.
Whatever he does.
Weather?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. We got a Playboy Playmate coming in here. Oh, we're going to continue with our religious week. Yes. Muslim will be today's pitch. I'm interested in this because I know we've said many things about the folks, but I'd really like to know what the good ones have to say. We'll take a break. We'll be back. There's more.
Chi-Chi.
Yeah, your hero, Jonathan Chi-Chi of the Sharks. Two goals, I hear.
Yes, two goals last night. He's leading his team to the playoffs.
I want our, we'll get to that in a moment when Dave comes up with his traffic. We have a, put my foot in my mouth and told, said Dave's doing traffic instead of sports, but then it got me on a horrible roll while Dave and I were at the urinal. It's one I brought up before. There's certain things. We talked about it earlier. We talked about the flights and the no sleeping channel, and I can't believe I'm the only one who's horribly disturbed by this. For me, it's traffic. I love radio. I can't stand the traffic reports. We just heard our local one. You guys all hear the local ones, whatever affiliate you are. Well, I just heard about problems in Tustin, Fontana, and the city of Orange. I lived here my entire life. I couldn't find Tustin if you gave me a map of Tustin. I don't know where Fontana is. I know it's several hundred nautical miles from where I am, and I never pass through Fontana, hopefully. God willing. The city of Orange, is it in Orange County? I'm not so sure. I'm sure they probably sell RVs in these cities. I have no goddamn idea where any of these places are. And all I'm saying is how much of your life have you wasted listening to traffic reports you will never use?
But
everyone.
Have you ever tuned in thinking, I wish I knew what it was like on the 101?
No.
And then you listen to the whole thing and they never tell you.
Well, yes. Once every 6 years I tune in thinking, wonder what's holding traffic up, and you never get the satisfaction of hearing that. But it's just always, there's a mattress in lanes in Arleta. Watch out for the Zizix exit.
Diamond
in the city
Bar.
Of Commerce. Diamond Bar. Look out on the 4 level. And then some of them are just generic. Slow and go. And I like look out for brake lights. Really, brake lights. Where's my steno pad when I need it? Brake lights. Are those the things that are illuminated when people hit the brakes? Thank you. All I'm saying is everybody, phone your local station, write your congressman, let's get rid of these goddamn traffic reports. And let me say this too, all you pains in the ass out there who complain whenever I bring this up. Every time I bring this up, someone will say, my own wife will do it. I listen. I like it. Look, I will use. And then I say this to every one of you, and be honest. You drive to work every single day. You drive to school. You go wherever you're going. You go home from work. You have heard several hundred thousand traffic reports in your short lifetime. How many of them have you utilized? How many of them have you said, oh, thanks for the heads up, I'll just be getting off the freeway here? And then if you did, and I guarantee you haven't, and if you did, it's one for every 175,000 traffic reports you hear, and I'm being generous. When you do get off the freeway, where are you? You hop off the 405, you're on Sepulveda, and so is everybody else. Just saying, it's unnecessary. Nobody uses it. It's the parsley by the side of the plate of life. And the more these things we collect in life, the more we're bogged down. Just get rid of it. You should, you know what? Get rid of traffic, and you'll have more time to hear me complaining about the traffic report.
You sold me. At first, I thought, no, people need that.
When is the last time you used it?
They need to know if there's a SIG alert on the Orange Crush, but then you convinced me. Because
yes.
For every one time you hear something, you need that hundreds of hours of traffic you've listened to that was useless.
Yes, if it was one out of every 150 traffic reports you heard, you used, that would be an acceptable, horrible, yet acceptable ratio. But it's not one out of every 150. It's one out of every 250,000. How many of you heard at home? How many of you heard in your underpants? How many of you heard when you're not going anywhere? Think about that. You're not even in your car when you hear 90% of them.
That's true.
And if you get rid of the traffic report, as a fringe benefit for our listeners, you'll never have to listen to Adam complain about this again.
Right.
No, but why is that a benefit?
The traffic lady gets PO'd when I do this, but it's like, why should you keep a job if you're not serving any purpose? That's all. You're not serving a purpose. Let's lose it.
Why is she upset? Because you're saying her life has no meaning.
It's a good lead-in for you to complain about
all right.
More stuff.
And everybody, you pusses out there, stop defending it. You don't use it. Stop hanging on to it. Thank you. All right, now we're going to play a spirited round. Tuckered out.
Wow.
Of what can Adam... And by the way, all you stupid stations out there, stop playing your stupid driving techno music behind it. It becomes even more annoying. It's annoying enough hearing what's going on the 4 level that you're not even close to. But stop with the stupid techno music you idiots always put behind it, thinking you're cool. It's more, it becomes more annoying that way.
I hope you're not peaking too early.
No.
And complaining.
No,
I know.
This
I feel
really
like
good.
He warmed up for his 400K with a marathon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. You ready? We're going to do a little intro for What Can't Adam Complain About?
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
Eric, you're first up. Here we go.
Okay, how you doing, Adam?
Horrible! Go!
All right. You can't complain about...
Receiving... keep the change or you ingest. That's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, I can complain about that, because guys always talk about, oh, does she swallow? Can she swallow that? It's not swallow, it's transport. See, that women don't want to do that, so they say no, so they clear out during the most sacred of all times, which is right at the end. Oh, don't say swallow, say transport. Just get into the bathroom, make it to the ficus plant, whatever you got to do with it, get it out of here. You know what I mean? I need a garbage man, not a garbage disposal. I don't need you to take it up. Just move it. Take it to the landfill. That's all. So we sink our own boats by saying using the word swallow. Thank you.
Filthy.
Melissa.
Yes.
You're up.
I bet you can't complain about Helen Keller.
Yes, I can. First off, horrible lay. You know what? I didn't even go any further than that. That's enough. She was horrible. Totally unresponsive. Completely unresponsive.
The dirty talk, not good.
No, didn't work on her. I did a slow strip tease at the foot of the bed. Nothing. Nothing. Juan.
Yeah, hey, Adam.
Yes.
You can't complain about your unborn children, buddy.
Yes, I can. I'll tell you why. Oh, I've said it before. My wife is using these as internal hostages against me. Who's going to get the mail? Well, certainly not the one who's keeping my kids. I have to go get the mail. Who's going to take the garbage out? Who's going to clean the dishes? She just goes to the belly every time. Like a skipper. Like a skipper going to the bullpen. She goes to the belly. She's keeping my kids hostage. I swear to God, I have to get, you know, who's going to get up? Who's going to turn this off? Who's going to do that? She's got two little hostages inside of her that she's holding. Yes. She suffers.
All right.
Yes, and they're going to have Stockholm Syndrome, too. Who's next? Next topic, please. Barry.
Hey, construction workers, mate.
Fat, racist. What else can you say? And they always listen to country music. There's always one guy who brings his radio to the job site, and he always likes country. He's the guy with the 4x and the gun rack that he keeps in the 4x, except for he has a level in it, a 4-foot level. So he thinks he's slick, taking his two loves. Here's the thing about construction workers and construction sites. You have your choice between horrible country music and then that horrible Mexican music. Those are your two choices. They don't play any of your Magic Mouse over there, Damashek. Sorry. No such luck. Who's next? Dominic? Dominic? Oh.
Military troops.
All right. Military troops.
Yeah, overseas, serving for the country.
Ooh. No, I'll tell you what. We just brought up Pat, what's his name, from the Cardinals. Too much friendly fire. I think we kill like two of our guys for every one Al-Qaeda guy we get over there. We got to stop shooting our own guys. Our weapons have become so good. Our camouflage has become so good. We get our own guys. We got to settle that down. Friendly fire. And by the way, that's a horrible name because it sounds like a good time. Sounds like the kind of thing you'd like to get, a little friendly fire. Now, it's like the word casualty. Sounds good. It's bad. Last one. Who's up? Andrew? All right. Andrew.
Yeah?
Topic, please.
Yourself, your own fame and greatness.
Greatness is tough, although I got to say, the greater you are, the smarter you are, the more famous you are, the more you live in your own gilded cage. All of a sudden, you're trapped like a hamster in his own habit trail that I've created for myself. It's tough being intellectually superior. It really is. You find fault in almost everything. Even the good people, even the good things you find fault with. So you turn on yourself. Let me tell you something about the dullard, the simple mind like yourself, Andrew. You having a great time. You could just stare at your own reflection in a spoon for hours on end and be entertained. For me, the fact that I have TiVo that only records 120 hours and only from two of my 5,000 satellite stations, a horrible disappointment, a slap in the face. I find fault with everything, and the smart brain, the high IQ brain, eventually turns on itself and starts eating away at its own cells. That's enough. I'm miserable.
You've done it again.
Wow.
Thank you.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. All right, now, it is time.
Are you all right?
Are you okay?
I thought that guy had you with our troops, and then you came back with friendly fire. Mm. That was phenomenal.
Well, you just, you know, I have nothing against our troops, but really, you do, I swear to you, when you hear about some of these smaller skirmishes, you realize that, you know, whether airstrikes are called in and hit our own guys, or, you know, find out what happened to Pat Tillman, you find out about these things, you realize that the number killed by our own guys rivals the number killed by the enemy. You go back and look at Desert Storm or whatever it is in the early 90s. We were killed by, you know, Iraqis killed like 235 of our guys. We killed like 241. It's crazy. We're actually, but by the way, that's how you know you've arrived as a military, when you're actually killing more of your own than the enemy kills. Think about that. You have arrived.
Well, perhaps this is a good time to mention that tomorrow in Tempe, Arizona, Pat's run, Pat Tillman's run. It's in honor of his second annual Pat's run in Tempe. 4.2-mile run, and it ends on the 42-yard line of Sun Devil Stadium.
Mm.
But it's named after Frank Cush. Sun Devil Stadium's Frank Cush Field.
Yeah.
I think they should now change it to Pat Tillman Field, yes?
Yes.
I agree, too.
One of our troops killed in friendly
fire.
They
raised $150,000 last year, and that's at Arizona State. 6:30 in the a.m. to 8 in the a.m. registration, and it benefits the Leadership Direct Action Initiative.
And I, and a true hero, by the way, Pat Tillman, though I don't like Pat's run because I feel like a couple of drunken people from New England are going to show up wearing Patriots jerseys. You know, they do call themselves the Pats, you know. And then once you get a couple of them, well, those obnoxious. Can't have a good time there. All right, we're going to take a break?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break so we have ample time for news and traffic with Dave Damashek after this.
What's not coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show?
Bob Barker in a wheelchair. Inside screen legend Sandra Dee's last will and testament. More on Tom Cruise's intimate moments he's only shared with Katie. And super tough supermodel Janice Dickinson in tears.
That sounds juicy.
Oh, it is.
Mmm, wow. A lot of excitement that's not coming up on the show. Robert Wool, however, is coming up on the show. We'll talk to him in just a couple of few. First, quickly to the phones. Ed?
Yes.
You have a correction about Helen?
Yeah, Helen? Adam, I'm surprised you didn't catch this, but then what the heck? Helen Keller, you know, she was disabled, and the big thing we got to remember about her is that when she did have sex, she talked dirty with her right hand, and she moaned with her left.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Thanks, that crosses a line.
I don't feel well.
Yes, I'm uncomfortable with that kind of humor.
Oh, well, yeah, sorry.
That's all right, Ed.
Okay.
All right, Ed, thank you. All right, disabled Helen Keller. John?
Hey.
You have an idea to improve air travel?
Can't believe you haven't thought of this being the genius that you are, Adam, but here we go. I've never sat next to a hot chick on the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in power, you've got to put this into effect. So here's the deal. Every time, this is only specific to people who register to vote you into power, so it's kind of paired with, their social security number.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get something mailed to them saying you have the option of sending $20, you know, per month to the service. When it comes time for them to travel, what they do is they put in their ID number, and then they're paired next to a hot chick on the airplane.
Mm-hmm. Who is traveling abroad.
Exactly.
I see.
Unintended.
Yeah. So it's a sort of a buddy system.
There you go.
A lot of models heading to Europe, a lot of models heading to New York. Why do I always get the fat housewife with the goiter?
Right.
Why not? Yeah. And I would be... This is an interesting plan, long-winded, but interesting. I would be... I think most guys, Dave, if somebody said, look, you could... you're going to New York. You're going sometime in June. Now, you could. Your plan is to go on June 2nd. You could travel next to the fat lesbian PE teacher. Or you could be sitting next to the leggy hot blonde, but you're going to have to travel on the 4th.
Right. Well, that's sort of how, like, when you do it online, it gives you other options,
yeah.
Cheaper options or whatever. This gives you...
You bump it back a couple days.
There's a little picture
yeah.
Right, of who your options are.
That'd interesting.
Nice.
All right. Right. I'll go along with that. All right, I like this. All right. Ready to move forward here? Teresa?
Yes.
Feeling good?
I am
proud?
Ready. Yeah.
Well, then it's time for Teresa Strasser with the news.
Thank you, Adam. We talked earlier about some of the very disturbing things that Al-Qaeda terrorist Zakarias Moussaoui has said in court, and yesterday was no different. He said he was willing to kill Americans, quote, anytime, anywhere. And when asked by his own attorney if he had any remorse about the attacks of 9/11, he responded, quote, we wanted to inflict pain on this country. I wish there would be more pain. Probably not helping his defense.
Yeah, now I'm sort of torn because you kill him and it's all over, but you keep him alive and it sits in maximum security and it costs you $100,000 a year. And the guy, keep in mind, everybody, the guy is, you know, 37, 34,
37.
Whatever he is. And going to prison, you live longer in the joint than you do on the outside. You really do. It's like parking a car in a garage. You just sit there in solitary 23 hours a day just doing push-ups and eating your slop. You go on forever. No smoking, no getting hit by trains, no lightning strikes,
well,
no domestic violence.
Yeah, but it's not this isn't the reason why I'm against capital punishment. But, you know, one little fringe benefit in, I would submit that it's worse to spend the rest of your days in the clink than just the sweet release of death.
Right.
Yes.
And
yeah. That's why I'm torn.
Yeah, exactly. It's a difficult case. And
kill his torso, leave his lower half. That's what I say.
There you go.
How about we compromise?
You're all about compromise.
Yes.
Okay, in entertainment news, it's more musical chairs in the news business with Katie Couric replacing Bob Schieffer on the CBS Evening News and then Meredith Vieira replacing Couric on the Today Show. Bob Schieffer could be taking over for Vieira on The View.
Oh, he's still trying out.
Right. I mean, because there's a spot open, he's free. So
interesting.
We
perfect
actually
circle.
Have exclusive audio from Schieffer's first rehearsal with the cast of The View. It sounds like they may not quite be on the same page.
Day in New York. That's so pretty.
I have been up since 5 a.m.
We call the show The View, and what a view it is today. Star those new boobs.
I'm sorry.
Yay.
These are 44 triple D's.
Wow.
I'll take them on.
I am so excited.
You'll have to go through this all over again tomorrow.
Seem like they're not giving him a room.
Then again, he shouldn't be getting aroused like that.
Listen,
I guess
it's hard to jump in with those women.
Yeah, you know? But there is a, ironically, I stepped on you, but there is a certain give and take that you need when you do an ensemble.
Yes, I will say from my own experience that... when they were auditioning every woman on earth to be the co-host, the job that Elizabeth Hasselbeck now has.
A couple years back,
I did audition for the job. And as I was telling Jimmy Brusca this morning, Star Jones, I ended up in tears.
Really?
There was a moment.
Really?
Yes.
On air?
No. I pulled myself together, but I'm not kidding you. I'm not exaggerating at all when I tell you that Star Jones was so... rude and mean to me that I went into my dressing room before the show, live show, and I'm nervous. I want this job so bad, and like my first day here.
Right.
You know, and I went to the dressing room, and I looked at the placement of the window, and I really thought, can I climb out? I've got to get out of here.
And escape, not kill yourself.
Either way.
Either way
would have been better.
Well, it would depend what floor you're on, but yes.
Well, I go into the hair makeup room, and Star has, like, dozens of wig people, like minions, and they have post-traumatic, like, they have tics. Like, sure. And they're scared.
She's
and,
no, I from everybody who I've ever talked to who has anything to do with that, says she is a reprehensible demon, a terror, awful creep.
All I can say from my own experience is that she was not kind to her wig and makeup people, which is a sign of what somebody's like.
Mm-hmm.
And then I
what
was
Adam says
right.
Yes.
Because I was new and I didn't want to, you know, interrupt anybody. I was just in the hair and makeup room minding my own business. But apparently, I didn't introduce myself fast enough, so she came over to me, did not make eye contact, so she stood in parallel to me, and she said, "You have not introduced yourself to me."
Mm.
At which point, I didn't know what to do. I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm a big fan." Lie. "I'm a big fan, and thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure." And she just rolled her eyes and walked away. And I felt like I'd made this huge faux pas.
Well, I'll tell you what the real problem was, because I talked to Teresa before. A little something she left out. She was referring to the folks that handled the wigs and the hair. She said, "I can't stand wiggers." And Star, at that point, who was, I think, yawning as you said it, I think misheard.
She thought
she misheard
I made an epithet.
What you were talking about, and I think that's what sort of sealed your fate, the wiggers.
That's an interesting theory, and that excuses Star. But,
So she's horrible.
Well, I have to say, Meredith Vieira, one of the nicest women I've ever met in show business, and actually, she came to my dressing room and could see that I was almost in tears and gave me a hug, like a maternal
hug.
Wow.
And this is before you even start
I'm
the show.
I'm about to go live on my dream job of all time.
Yes.
But it still was great.
It was.
Yeah, on the air, Star was very sweet to me. Yeah, couldn't
That's the beauty of her. All right.
Okay.
Well, now I hate her more.
More entertainment news. Kevin Federline got in some trouble because he sampled the Thomas Dolby song "She's Blinding Me with Science" in his latest rap called "America's Most Wanted." He removed the sample, and there's a new version of the song currently available on his MySpace page. Now, I just want to say, I want to warn our listeners, I'm going to be playing a little bit of it, and Adam, you know, you tell me when you've had enough, because I know this can be painful. So
no.
I'm going to play a little bit, and you call Uncle when it's too much.
Okay.
Waitress, can I have another drink, please?
That's a drunken Federline.
So
you should have done that with Star Jones. Should formally introduce yourself instead of start talking about the wiggers.
Well, have you had enough of Federline, or can you take more?
I need more, yeah. Speaking of wiggers.
That's who got Britney Spears.
Now, I haven't heard the "Blinded Me with Science."
He had to take it out.
Oh, he took it out.
He had to take it out because Thomas Dolby got angry.
I the best part about most rap songs is the great sampling from the old Motown song or the song you remember. You like
right.
That's why you like the song. It works on a subconscious level. You're like, oh, Tears of a Clown. Yeah, like, oh, now we're back into this. I would like to become a rapper where I didn't sample. I played the whole song. And didn't even add any lyrics.
Uber sample.
Yes, Uber sample. I just play "Blinded Me with Science" and just put my name on it. The ultimate sample.
I'll call Diddy. All right. Last story. It's about boobs. Ooh. So hopefully, damn tackle.
Boobies.
Sitting up.
Boobies.
Mm-hmm.
Boobies.
Thank you. A new study reported by MSNBC finds that women who get breast implants are more likely than other women to kill themselves. Researchers aren't sure why, but suspect women with implants have higher rates of depression and low self-esteem.
Well, people can't do that math.
They can't figure it out.
They're not set. I mean, when you decide you should alter yourself cosmetically, it means you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see. And if you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, it's a lot easier to kill it.
Right. Exactly. In other words, it's a self-selected.
Well, it makes me nervous when researchers are baffled. You know what I mean? Like when you find somebody was attacked by a bear, researchers are baffled.
Baffled.
Yeah, no, you can see that they were killed by a bear.
Yeah.
I don't like when researchers. When Tad's baffled, that's fine. I look through the window all day. I see him trying to get a Sunny D bottle open for an hour and a half. That kind of baffled, I'm fine with. I don't like it when researchers are baffled, because your job as a researcher is not to be baffled. You should be baffled-less. Non-baffled. Dog dirt.
Well, it's the same thing as when boobs like Tom Cruise weigh in about, like, you can't give your kids Ritalin. Do you know statistics show that kids on Ritalin are more likely to kill themselves? Yeah, because they have emotional problems.
Of course.
Here's the problem. You don't know the history of psychiatry.
I love
Says you. Says you, Cruz.
I have natural breasts. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Traffic.
Number one.
Traffic.
Do it, Dave.
No traffic. I'm going to talk about our national pastime. And by the way, Robert Wohl is outside, one of baseball's great ambassadors. Perhaps
really
he can help you turn the corner on our great game.
Bull Durham.
Love that movie.
The Ty Cobb movie, remember
sure,
that?
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, hopefully he'll be able to win you over and make you like baseball again.
All right.
Last night, yesterday I should say, Dodgers save face. They beat the junk out of the crappy Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah.
Padres got dumped by the Marlins. Snakes of Arizona lost to the Rockies. Mariners won in Cleveland. Oakland lost in Minnesota. The Giants split their doubleheader with the Astros, but the big news there, that creep Barry Bonds looks like he might get his just desserts. The feds are investigating whether he perjured himself about whether he knowingly took the steroids, did the juice. It's almost getting so pathetic that I almost feel bad for him.
But not quite.
Not yet, but right. Maybe in time. This is really getting crazy. NBA Phoenix beat Dallas, and a big story going on in the NBA right now is the Sonics may be moving out of Seattle. Commissioner David Stern says Seattle isn't interested in having an NBA team. This because state lawmakers refuse to tax the people to help renovate the Key Arena.
Sure.
How about this? How about the Johnny Starbucks, who owns the team, who has 17 Starbucks on every block? How about you cut back on putting the Starbucks up and do it yourself?
Yeah. No, yeah. I know. They hold the city hostage, and they get the taxpayers. And I don't know what percentage of people who pay for the stadium actually go inside the stadium. It would probably be alarmingly low if you found out what that is. But we should all pay for this billionaire to get richer and buy a stadium for him.
That's right. And last night, two goals from our main man, Jonathan Chichu.
Chichu!
Say, here's his old way. Here's Chichu.
Chichu.
Not good. Then he tries again.
Chichu.
Gets it right.
Well, he after you took him under your wing and
That's
tutored
right.
him.
Yeah. That's right. I'd like to think so, at least. You know, if I had a hand in the,
think
in,
so.
In the
no
San
so.
Jose Sharks advancing to the Stanley Cup playoffs, then I guess you're welcome.
So be it.
Sure.
Right.
Now, one more thing. Have you heard about Frankie Muniz, what he's doing? You know, Malcolm in the Middle himself. The show's over with, you know.
Oh, it is.
And
okay.
Are you friends with him or something?
No, I know he loves automobiles.
Well,
and
right.
Clippers.
That's the thing. Well, he races in these celebrity races. He was just in the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race.
Yeah.
Grand Prix of Long Beach. Finished 11th. So, of course, he's decided to turn his great skills and become a pro.
He must have crashed, by the way, or spun out or something if he finished 11th.
I don't know, but this is
out
the sort of thing
many?
You participate in, right?
Nine. What's that? Yes, I did it. I came in third overall. They have the pros and
behind,
the celebrities.
So Mune is 11, Corolla 3, Linda Lavin, TV's Alice, number one.
With a bullet.
You both lost there. Anyway, this is neat. I didn't know if you knew him or what, but I guess he's a big Corolla fan. He's agreed to join us. Right now, it's his first practice run coming to us live from the track. Frankie, are you there?
Adam Carolla, you rock, dude. This one's for you. Here goes nothing. Oh, crap.
You mic'd him up inside the car? Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sure he's all right.
Yeah.
Malcolm in the hospital.
Yeah,
talking
maybe,
about traffic.
Maybe him and Priestley can turn some laps together.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Whew, that's a long way to go for that one. Tired, I didn't even get up.
Yeah, well, listen, I told Shelly, the cue card girl, don't do it. That's a stupid bit, but she insisted on
it. A lot of people don't know the show's run by Shelly, the cue card
girl. She writes all the comedy, right.
Yeah, my stuff is in blue, so right. I don't get confused. Dave's stuff is in black, and Robert Wohl. no, Teresa's stuff is in red. Otherwise, we'd be, you know, the first few weeks we're out here, they just did everything in black. And I started yelling Chi-Chu, and I started talking about Pop Star Joel, and it got confusing. You started complaining about traffic, and we got all cross-pollinated. Now we've worked it out.
Well, I thought we had worked it out until that crummy bit. Come on, Shelley, you're better than
it. It wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah, but she just wrote that, so you would say that. She's saving her own self by writing quickly in red for Teresa to say it wasn't that bad. All right, Robert Wall is here. We'll bring him in a second. Hold on a second. Dan?
Hello.
Dan, would you like to say something positive about the show?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just, me and my buddies were talking yesterday how we don't even miss, I don't know if I could say, I don't know why I can say it, but the previous gentleman that was on 97.1.
Howard Stern.
Oh, yes. Cool. Yeah, and I know you're a friend of his because you were on the show here and there, and we were saying, yeah, I don't even miss it. It's like you fell off the face of the earth. You know, I procrastinate on getting a machine to listen to it, and I'm listening to you. And,
well, thank you. I'm obviously a fan of Stern and still consider myself friends with him. Somebody brought something up to me the other day, which I thought, oh, yeah. They said, and maybe they were just being kind, but I believe them. They said, you know, if you get the XM or Sirius, I know I sound like I'm not remembering on purpose, but I hear it's so serious. Much of both. Sirius. You can get the receiver and listen to Stern whenever. Dave would prefer you listen to Stern during Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. But the point is you could listen to this show if you enjoy this show and just go listen to Stern at night or wherever you are, whenever. You don't have to listen to it at the same time. It's not a choice between me or him. If you enjoy us both, exactly. you can listen to us both. Or just me. Thanks, Dan.
And by the way, don't put words in my mouth. I happen to be a humongous fan of the Frosty, Hansel, and Gretel show.
All right. Very clever. Let's, sorry about that cue card there.
Shelley, now you see? I have egg on my face.
Frosty, Hansel, and Gretel, not your best work, Shelley. Egg on face, though. Funny. All right, we'll take a break. Robert Wall will be in here, and we'll be back right after this.
Postal worker, 23 years old, a postal rider, hears that the British are invading. He gets on a horse and rides 350 miles to warn the colonists. And his name is? His name is Israel Bissell. Now, did Paul Revere ride? Absolutely. He went a good 19 miles. Israel Bissell, on the other hand, goes from Boston to Philadelphia. Guy?
Robert Wall here. Assume the position with Mr. Wall. Sunday, 8 o'clock, HBO, and on HBO Demand. Airing throughout April. I've caught bits and pieces of it and enjoyed it immensely. Robert is a dear friend. I'd like to welcome you back to the show.
Hi, Adam.
Good to see you, Robert.
You too. You were foes, though, in the celebrity softball
were
game
we this
at
year?
Dodger Park this
were
past
we? We weren't on
June.
The same team.
We've been on the same team. We've been on other teams. I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to clarify something because my assistant said to me, some minor league team asked me if I wanted to come out and play with them. And she said, well, you don't want to do that because you don't like baseball. And I said, oh, no, I love baseball. I love playing baseball. Mm-hmm. I just don't need to watch the 162-game season. But there's nothing better than getting out there and swinging the bat. There's nothing better than shagging the balls. It's great fun to play. I just don't need to get tied up and live and die with every pitch in game number 11 of the 162 season. That's the clarification. I will play in every one of those celebrity things.
A lot of major league ball players will feel the same way.
Yeah.
They don't play in the game. They don't want to watch the game.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of the guys like that.
Yeah, I could see that. It's, you know, if you make donuts, who the hell wants to eat them for dessert when you get home?
Exactly. Even comics. A lot of comics will, you know, go to, you know, like doing it, but they don't necessarily want to go to a comedy club.
Yeah, I would say that more comics like sports than guys who play sports like sports.
Perhaps.
And then more guys who like sports would prefer to do music.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys who play music would rather play baseball. And the guys who act would rather drive cars.
There you go.
It's interesting. We should have some sort of creative round robin, some rotation system.
And all actors think they're better athletes than they are.
Yeah, because they all have some story about giving it up. See, that's the whole thing. Now, there's an interesting thing, which is if you say, well, I was a promising pro prospect playing ball out of high school in a year of AAA, I gave it all up to do what? Your janitor, Herb. You know what I mean? If you have a horrible job, no one buys it. But if you become Charlie Sheen, then we buy it. Because, right. Oh, I see, even a better gig than pro athlete.
Kurt Russell.
Yes, you're with all these, you're betting all these beautiful stars, you're making all this money, all this notoriety. We'll do the math. You can't say you quit being an attorney to be a garbage man. We won't buy that.
Yeah, plus, they said I gave it all up. Now, I was a promising prospect. Now, that means you were the best player in your high school.
Right.
Which means, you know, you might have been drafted. You might have been. So stop and think how many jobs there are in Major League Baseball. And if you're the best guy in your high school, that means nothing. You know, it's like there's 50 guys like that.
Well, if you're going to do it, if you're going to be that celebrity who claims, like, I could have been a big league ball player, make sure you don't make a movie in which you play baseball and prove that you actually throw like a girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or just a self-inflicted injury. That's what I did. I duct tape an M80 to my right knee when I was 19, knowing I would need a good story. I'll show it to you. It's ugly. It's still ugly. I keep the wound alive. Picking the scab off every night. Robert was reminding me of something when we were talking during the break, that the show assumed the position with Mr. Wolf is got a lot of favorable notices.
Best I've ever had in my life.
And yet no love from HBO, no fruit basket.
I haven't heard a word from them yet. Not a word. Which is
nothing.
Nothing. Very disappointing.
Right.
That's just rude.
And you know what? I thought about this. When I was driving in, I was listening to the news this morning, and I heard a story that Dave Chappelle did an article with some magazine where he's talking about racism, and he's talking about Comedy Central. Everyone speculated on why he went to Africa and gave up his $50 million and all the Chappelle Show stuff. He's talked about many reasons. Now he's bringing racism into it, and I thought, well, please, it's not racist. But then I thought to myself, you know what? If I was black, I would assume many things were racist when they weren't.
Possibly.
Meaning, I was on Comedy Central. I had many successful shows on Comedy Central. Yet, the last time I dealt with Comedy Central, they dealt with me like crap. And if I was black, I would assume that. I would say, what are you talking about? I did Crank Anchors. I did The Man Show. Now you can't give me any love. It's because of the color of my skin. If you were black, you would assume that it would just be racism. Why you didn't
I'm
get that
sure
muffin
I'm not
basket.
It now.
Oh, really?
Really?
Maybe there's a black executive that's not sending you that basket.
No, I don't know what it is. I just, it's amazing that I have not, I mean, I'll never get reviews like this. I mean, from The New York Times does a feature piece, and I mean, all these people, I mean, I've never gotten, there hasn't been one negative review. And I mean, people, I go, yesterday I'm looking to buy a car, so I go into the dealership, and the dealership, they're talking about the show.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, tell me about this stuff, and I haven't heard one word from HBO.
Racism, pure and simple.
But maybe it wouldn't take much, you know, just a handful of peanuts and a pat on the back. You know, you just need some kind of.
Yeah.
Then again, you send them some peanuts. That might be it.
Metaphorically.
Interestingly enough, gotten into this argument with my shrink many times, which is he always says, when you feel the way you do, you have to then go ask for it. Like, somehow that's healthy. And I always say, but then if you ask for it.
It doesn't count.
It doesn't count. And he's always like, oh, Adam, you don't know what you're talking about. And I always grab him. Listen, old man. I grab him. He wears that jacket with the patch.
Oh,
you know,
the
corduroy jacket with the suede patch. He says, listen, I will jack your ass up. And I push him back into his Freud statue. And that's it. But, yes, if you can't say to him, hey, how about the love? And then somebody gets some lackey to send you out a basket of muffins. That doesn't count.
Right, exactly. Not quite the same.
No. All right. So you're talking. Oh, we got to take a break, don't we, Breska? When we come back, I want to talk because the show has a lot of historical inaccuracies. I know nothing about history. And I probably know less than anyone that's in that classroom, but you know more than anyone that's in this room. Was it a hobby
yeah,
of yours before you began
buff.
It?
I mean, I did a lot of research for the show, but yeah, I do like history. I like storytelling, so it's all about what's history, but it's all it is storytelling.
All right, so we'll come back. You give us a few of the misnomers in history.
Sure.
We'll be right back with Robert Wolf after this.
This is Washington Irving, and he is our nation's first American idol. And when it came to books, this guy becomes Stephen King, Steven Tyler, and Steven Spielberg rolled up into one. Okay, so this guy's hot. He's like Quentin Tarantino after Pulp Fiction. What's he going to follow up with? What could possibly beat the first one? How about a little thing called Rip Van Winkle? You remember Rip Van Winkle? Story about a man who has a nagging wife. He gets drunk, goes to sleep for 20 years, wakes up, his wife is dead, and he lives happily ever after.
always get him and Rumpelstiltskin confused.
Right, yeah.
Those are the two guys that always screw that one up.
They always had that problem, too. They would get, every time they did interviews.
Rip and Rumpel.
Rip and Rumpel, you know.
Oh, wait a minute. I got twins coming.
Rip and Rumpel.
Wait a second.
Sweetie, if you're listening.
Whoa.
Rip and Rumpel. That's not bad.
Yeah, imagine
I got a couple days for you. I don't know if you...
Hold on. I'm not done with Rip and Rumpel.
Okay.
These two guys chilling at a bar trying to put one back.
Well, you get, which one's going to be the girl?
I know.
Oh, Rumpel. Well, Rumpel.
Rumpel?
The guy's got to be Rip.
Well, if the guy is Rump, that sort of destines him
Rumpel
to...
for a girl. Like, we're actually considering Rumpel for a girl. You know, Rumpel for a girl, I don't know. I've got a few, though. I thought.
Yeah, give me a few.
Okay. Little bit. I know you like animals, so I thought of the pandas, Shishi and Gao Gao.
Oh, that's nice.
The pandas are sweet.
Robert Wall here, by the way.
My two kids are Max and Sadie. Now, those are dogs, mind you, but they're, you know, but Max and Sadie are good names.
Yeah, they're solid.
Sacco and Vanzetti?
Sacco and Vanzetti.
That's obscure historical reference.
But I thought of the best ones, you know, because I want to keep something that's current and hip so the kids are.
Right.
How about Bucky and Mandisa?
Oh, that's great.
Bucky and Mandisa.
I think that's strong.
I like it.
I feel like, though, at some point when we're on to American Idol 41, they're going to have to do a lot of explaining about American Idol number 6. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like people, those will be over and forgotten with a few by the time the kids are in the 11th grade.
Okay, then go back to Rumpel.
Well, how about Mendisa?
Rumpel's been around forever. You know it's got staying power.
Rip and Rumpel.
Yeah.
Rip and Rumpel.
Rumpel Corolla.
You can use middle names like Mendisa, Rumpel Corolla.
All right. We'll put them together. Anything else, Robert?
No,
Rumpel?
No. I'm sorry.
Walt? I just wanted to say, I don't know, everything reminds me of something. First off, I was complaining about the useless traffic reports we get every day. And the city is so big. And they don't contain the traffic reports to greater Los Angeles. It goes all the way to the Nevada border and then all the way to Oregon. And
pretty much the length of Sepulveda.
I heard one a second ago, only out here in this market. We heard on the 40 highway in Devil's Playground.
What is that?
I have no idea what that is. Do we have this?
Idol's hands are the Devil's Playground, but is that
right.
a place?
It's the next film from Dimension Films, it sounds like.
I have no... Has anyone ever heard of the Devil's Playground? Can we get our traffic lady back on the phone?
Get that British lady on it.
She sounds hot. She's filling in for our normal traffic lady, but I'm still curious where the Devil's Playground is. I have no idea where that is. Yes, is she on? Oh, on line one?
Oh.
Hello? Oh, line two.
Hi.
Sorry. Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hello. What's your name?
I'm Lucy.
Lucy, you sound delightful.
Well, thank you.
And you're just filling in for today.
I'm just filling in for the delightful, and she is Diana.
Uh-huh. And where is the Devil's Playground in the 40 freeway?
It's out there.
Where?
It's out there. It's out there.
A little bit more
she
vague?
Doesn't even know. It's out there with the cactus and the scorpions and the...
Is it in this country?
Yes, it's in this country. It's in the desert. It's out near the Baker Barstow area.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps I should say that, huh?
Let me say a couple of things. First off, our local station out here, KLSX, has a horrible signal. I mean, you can't go. It doesn't make it to Encino, much less Barstow.
There's trouble in commerce.
Yeah. So I'm saying you do not have to give traffic reports about places that the signal doesn't reach to.
But I tell you, you see, Adam, this is the deal, is that a lot of people are heading out towards Vegas and Arizona,
right.
You know, and so...
And then what would the alternative be?
Good question.
There's one road that goes to Vegas.
They could use the 10. They could.
It still probably goes through the Devil's Playground. What the hell kind of name is that for a city?
It's evil, huh?
Yeah, so it's the 40 in the Devil's Playground out around Baker.
Yeah, it's Kelbaker Road, but yeah, around Baker, Barstow,
you know. All I'm saying, I'm not beating up on you. I know you have to leave. But here's the thing. Less than zero is the number of people that are using that piece of information.
Yeah.
And I would say it's almost that with all traffic reports.
You know what? Here's where I'm going to strongly disagree.
Yes.
You know, because people like traffic. I mean, they don't like being in it.
You make
a
very compelling point.
They like hearing about
it. You're right. I have an obsession with traffic. I can't get enough traffic.
Girl, Lucy, let's get back to
you are completely obsessed with traffic.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. You make
there must be something in your childhood.
You make a very. I'm obsessed with. Okay. Whew. All right, no drinking on the job, Lucy.
Lucy.
No, I don't drink, though.
Okay. All right, hang on. Yes, I'm obsessed with traffic reports like I'm obsessed with terrorism. It's a bad thing. I'd like to do away with it. It's not because I love it. It's because it's totally unnecessary.
One or the other.
What traffic reports. It would have a greater impact in my life. All right. So all you traveling out past the Zizix exit on the 40 on the way to the Bun Boy and you're heading toward the Devil's Playground, be careful. There's no alternate roads, but heads up. There's going to be traffic coming. Very important information. I'm sorry, Robert. But
no, it's okay.
It's a carryover from a jag I went on an hour ago. I hope you share my
more
feelings
about
that.
More people will be involved with traffic than probably terrorism. So, you know, your
statistically.
Point is...
yeah, you have a better chance of being in a traffic jam than you do
sure.
being hit by a car bomb. So, Robert, I'm sorry. We were talking about history.
Yeah.
All over the road this morning, fired up. We're talking about history and about how it is written by the winners, as they say, and most of it's screwed up. You have some insights.
Well, it's all who's telling the story. I mean, it's just that it's written by the winners. It's written, I mean, obviously, if Hitler wins the war, you know, the Holocaust movies don't win the Oscar every year. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Interesting point,
you know, it's just not going to happen that way. You know, it's written by the winners. But again, it's like, who's telling the story? I mean, a guy writes a book that Lincoln is gay. Mm-hmm. The other day. Now, how does he come up with this one?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, he wasn't there. I don't think he's talked with anybody who had a little, you know, thing to do with it. You know, I don't know if Lincoln didn't pay for protection from the New York Post scam, page 6.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. So, you know, it's like, who's telling the story?
What gay guy's ever worn a stovepipe hat, you know
I mean,
if you think about it?
Well, to a rave.
The only guys I know who wear stovepipe haps are stovepipe haps.
Yes.
Go on.
Yeah, straight. All the guys, the legions of guys I know who sport those hats,
right?
Straight as an arrow.
You know, to this day, Lincoln is the tallest president we ever had at 6'6". So you think about how big he must have been to everybody back then, you know. What was the average person back then? About
4 5'? Foot,
yeah. About 5'3"?
Well, they say he had Marfan syndrome.
What's that?
He was, it's a syndrome where you're freakishly tall, like that, you know, that self-help guru, Robbins?
Yeah,
right.
They say he has a
Tony Robbins.
Large
Roberts.
Jaw and tall, but they
Robbins,
also say,
yeah.
Robbins, thank you. They also say Lincoln was depressed.
Well, he's depressed because he kept hitting his head on the door jams.
Yeah, that's probably
And by the way, if you are, in fact, 6'7", and the average guy is, in fact, 5'3", don't wear a hat that now makes you 9 feet tall. Well, you should have put a yarmulke on.
But look, he gets elected. I mean, people are impressed with size. I mean, you know, just people like that. So, you know, it worked for him.
Sporting those boots and then the hat. I mean, really, he's 9 foot with all that. So, but how do we get on to Lincoln? Oh, yes, not gay.
Right, you know, so history is, you know, as Tolstoy said, history would be a wonderful thing if only it were true.
What do we, wow, that's heavy. What are
he was Tolstoy.
Give us a couple of the big ones, I mean, you know, the top three we heard during the clip.
Well, we talk about, you know, just not only is false, I mean, it's more about the history being pop culture, because the pop culture figure of its time, I mean, we talk about Israel Bissell instead of Paul Revere, where a guy went 350 miles as opposed to a guy who rode 19 miles.
Right.
And the reason was because the biggest pop culture figure of the 1860s was Longfellow. And Longfellow needs a hero to write his stirring poem about
Paul Revere. Yeah.
Well, the reason was because he didn't want it was 1860 and the Civil War was about to happen, and he didn't want the Civil War to happen, and so he decided to write this poem that would remind everybody of the heroes that helped form the country 76 years earlier. Remember, he's writing about something that happened in 1775.
Right.
It's 1860. So he goes to Paul Revere because Israel Bissell is not a very good name.
Yeah.
And so he makes up Paul
Last
Revere.
Last Jew to get on a horse. Though.
Yeah,
you
right.
Just go down,
you know.
Just go down in the books. Is that?
Yeah, because
technically
I mean,
the
you
know, last one.
Israel Bissell would have taken Amtrak. You can be sure of that.
you
know. So I mean, that's one. I mean, the whole story of we talk about is about Columbus going before Isabella, saying the world is round.
You know, Isabella,
story.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that didn't happen. I mean, that's total fiction from Washington Irving.
You
know,
really?
Never happened. No, Isabella. She would have said, you know, Aristotle figured this out 2,000 years ago. Where's your head? But he did it because he had written Rip Van Winkle and The Legend of Sleepy Hollow and The Knickerbocker Tale. So he was huge. I mean, he was the pop. He was the American Idol of the 1800s. This young guy, and then he writes The Legend of Christopher Columbus, and in there he's got this fictional story about, like a good dramatist, about Isabella. You know, Columbus going. Before Isabella saying the world is, I'm going to prove the world is round. Well, it never happened. It was just a story. But it got passed on from generation to generation. You know, so that's history. That's what happened to stuff like that.
You know, they figured out early on, I don't know if it's the Egyptians or somewhere in the Middle Middle East, how they figured out the world was spherical, was round, the test they did. They put a stick in the ground, and they measured the shadow of the stick, and then they put another stick, you know, many miles away, and they measured the shadow of that stick, and they saw that the shadow was greater on the other stick. If you think about it, how else could you figure it out? It's a weird thing. Obviously, you don't get a look from space, and you can't pace it off. And how do you figure it out? But the shadow in the stick, I believe, is the way they did it, which I find interesting.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
The more you know. But can this continue to happen? This is interesting because now there's...
Sticks?
No, I'm off sticks now. I'm back onto traffic. No, there's videotape of everything in this day and age, you know?
Yeah, but if I show you three different angles of a play on football, and you'd say, well, it depends which angle you see it from, which is the same way as in life. Is who saw it from what angle and what point of view? If I guarantee you, Bill O'Reilly and Al Franken go to the same event, and they write a book each, it's going to have a totally different perspective.
Well, that's a very valid point.
So who's telling the story?
I just wonder, I at least hope that people several hundred years from now have at least a better shot at somewhere near the truth.
Not going to happen?
I'll give you
an example. The other day, right, we had this whole thing about James Frey with A Million Little Pieces, the book he wrote, right? Now, people have been lying in their autobiographies from time immemorial.
Right.
They don't tell the truth. Henry Ford didn't talk about being an anti-Semite. Charles Lindbergh isn't writing about him being a Nazi sympathizer. You know, I'm sure Bill Clinton didn't tell the whole story as he knew it, right? So why are we so shocked and appalled that this guy lied? The reason is because he lied to the biggest pop culture figure in America. He lied to Oprah.
Yes.
My God, how can you lie to Oprah? You don't lie to Oprah.
Please.
If he lies to Larry King, the Today Show, nobody cares. But he lied to Oprah, and people suddenly got offended. So, I mean, pop culture is going to happen. You know, that's not going to change.
I always wondered why that was such a big deal. The guy's a junkie. He's high. He cleaned up. You get the general message.
Exactly.
He used a little hyperbole. He didn't bottom out. He got near the bottom. Good enough. Went to jail for this instead of that. Was there overnight instead of spending 2 months there. Whatever it is, who cares? Yes. I know Oprah is such a colossal, monumental blowhard that even when she apologizes, she does it in a blowhardy way because she's stopped the presses, stopped the planet from spinning. I have an announcement. It's like Fonzie when he was wrong or when he apologized or whatever it was. It's like when a blowhard apologizes, they do that thing where they go, you know what? This has never happened before, and I've never done this, but it takes a huge, huge, huge person to do this. Yes, I, the greatest of all, was wrong, and I apologize. And you think, well, one part of you thinks, well, that was big of you, and the other part thinks, my God, what a bitch. She's bragging and apologizing at the same time. What a blowhard, though.
I like Oprah. And his book sales went up.
All right, but how about the fact that she has come out with a magazine that is printed 56 copies and she has been on 57 of them? She's been on the cover of every
magazine.
It sells the magazine.
If it's, you know,
I know the reasons behind it.
If it's called Adam magazine, I want to see Adam.
No, you don't.
I do.
Sure, if it was Adam's magazine.
Not on every single magazine. Not on everyone.
She had Rosie on once.
Well, Rosie took up half the page, and to get those two on the same covers, you really have to shoehorn them in. Butter up, ladies. We're trying to squeeze on the cover of this magazine, get a running start. But the point is she shared, I think, that with her. All right. You love Oprah?
Like Oprah. I have great respect. I think Oprah's quite remarkable.
I think she's good, too, but she has a personality disorder. She's good at what she does.
Coming up,
I'm looking under your seat. I'm not seeing a car. I'm not seeing a car under the seat I'm sitting on.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay. Touche. I was going to give you a plug, but I decided maybe we should just move forward with the show.
Oh.
All right, we need to take a break. Robert Wall, everybody.
Rip and Rumple.
Assume the position with Mr. Wall. It's on HBO, even if the network's giving him no love. The critics certainly are. It airs Sunday nights at 8 o'clock, also on HBO On Demand, and airs throughout the month of April. So find it and learn something. Laugh and learn.
Laugh and learn.
With Ren and Stimpy. No, Rip and Rumple.
Rip and Rumple.
All right.
We'll
take a break. I still like that. We'll have a Christian comedian on here in
Good
Friday.
For religious
ones. Yes, after this.
Griffin. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Well, we've been working on a religion all week. We're going to have a Muslim come in here and pitch their religion to me. I'm an atheist. I got twins on the way. I'm looking for a religion, mostly for the kids. I've heard what they've had to say so far, and we're going to keep going. Also, it's Good Friday, so we thought we'd bring in Reverend John Stevens. Good to see you, Reverend.
Yay, yay. Yay, I say unto the people of Free FM, Good Friday.
Yeah.
And layeth, may we make it a great Friday. Mm. Say hello to TGIGF. Thank God it's Good Friday.
So it's you're going to make Good Friday a great Friday.
I am. Nice to see you, Adam, child of nature, friend of man.
Yeah, a little
hello,
something
David,
from green-eyed lady. Yeah.
Blessings unto thee, Teresa.
Thank you, Reverend.
Yeah, the Reverend is, or I guess was, a stand-up comedian and still is, but started off as one and then was born again at some point.
How'd you find Christ?
I was inhabiting, another soul was inhabiting my human, form.
Oh, and, gay sex?
No. No. It was through incarceration that I didn't find Christ. Christ found me.
I see.
He did time.
Well, I was persecuted for aggravated assault and forced sodomy upon an animal of the field. But let me stress that it was not an animal of the home of man.
It was
an animal, not a cat, but an animal to be yoked and made to work and serveth man.
I see. So it was less a house cat, more an oxen.
More an oxen, yes, of the field.
Okay.
So you're in the joint.
I was in the joint.
And then Jesus comes to you.
Well, sirs and lady, I sat in that correctional purgatory and watched a man form chewed up tater tots into a crude cudgel. And I realized this was not me. I said no more. Mm-hmm. And that is when the Lord Jesus Christ paroled my soul, brother.
Wow.
So it was a lot of yoked oxens and crude cudgels that turned you.
Thank you.
If I can paraphrase.
Beautiful that Jesus found, you found Jesus that way.
Adam, don't
laugh at
that.
We found one another. I was released, and I went back to my first passion, stand-up comedy.
Well, there is, there's Christian rock. Why not Christian stand-up comedy? Right.
Well, I was a comic before I was incarcerated. I was actually on tour in the country when the whole ugly incident happened.
Yes.
Mm. Now, what kind of comedian are you or were you? Did you do blue material?
I used to do blue material. I've found a new sort of material that I'm much more comfortable, and I think the people are responding to a lot more now.
Because religious folk like to laugh, pagans do, Dave. Yeah,
absolutely.
You could probably get a lot of church bookings.
Yeah.
The Passion of the Christ was big.
No, it's big. Most of the country is, in fact, religious.
Well, I'll go to an open mic, and I will say to the people, blessed are those who hunger for thirst and righteousness, for they shall be filled, Matthew 5:3.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for laughter, for those too shall be filled. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's also Matthew 5. Then I go into my routine.
Well, if you don't mind, since it is Good Friday,
we could hear
some nice routine. Yeah.
Material, yeah.
That'd be great.
Bless you.
So you're formerly a blue stand-up comedian.
Formerly blue, now more for the Lord.
Okay.
I come out and I say,
I'll bring you out on stage. All right. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Open Mic at the Deli Smoker, beautiful Sherman Oaks, California. Now, please welcome to the stage the religious comedy stylings of the good Reverend John Stevens.
Hello. How's everybody doing out there? Hey, happy Good Friday. Hey, you know what they say? Any Friday is good as long as it's not Friday the 13th. That's the devil's three-day weekend.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
That's okay.
So Jesus. People say, Jesus, funny? I don't think so. And I say, okay. Well, how about this? Jesus gave his buddies wine. It turned out to be blood. He gave them bread. It turned out to be his flesh. I tell you, be careful if Jesus offers you a glass of milk.
Wow,
here's eating up.
Yeah. Here's one for you.
Slinging heat.
How many Darwinists does it take to disrespect and take for granted all the gifts that the Lord has bestowed upon us?
I don't know. How many?
All of them, apparently. Are you having a good time, Michael? We'll tell your soul. And how about that Paris Hilton? She makes Leviticus look like Job.
Yeah, I gotta look that one up.
You'll get that one on the way to damnation.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Anyway, how about Jesus, huh?
Mm.
I wonder what it would have been like if Jesus had an iPod on Good Friday. I think it would go something like this. Oh, is this cross heavy? Oh, I fell for a second time. The dream police. Da, 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 da. Oh, they've nailed me to a cross. Father, why have you forsaken me? I'm in a New York state of mind. That's if Jesus had an iPod.
Yeah. Mr. Jesus Jaws. It's a little inside joke there. Yeah.
Before I go, before I wrap this up, just want to share something with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, as perfect and as wonderful as he is,
mm-hmm.
he thought he was fat.
No.
Can you believe that with that
no.
figure?
In the loincloth?
I sit in church sometimes and look up at him on the cross and I think I'm looking at Mario Van Peebles.
Wow.
Hey, you've been great. That's my time. Try the loaves and fishes. Have a blessed night. And then I blah, 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 blah.
Wow, that's good.
You know, sometimes
stuff.
I say, don't forget to tip your apostle, something like
right.
that.
Right. Well, what would Jesus tip?
No, thank you. Thank you.
That well, is I, good I've, stuff.
Maybe I'm a cynic, but I had my doubts coming in. I didn't think he could do a wholesome set like that.
I did, too. I
really
thought
hot
it.
Stuff.
Again, we've all heard the religious rock and stuff like that seems to not translate very well. I didn't think it would translate over comedically, but man, that was some solid like, material.
Hey, real quick, since in honor of Easter weekend, one thing as maybe a religious man could answer for me is, what does the bunny have to do with the whole
the resurrection? Yeah.
Easter oh, the
thing.
Easter bunny,
right? Yeah.
Oh, it's actually biblical. The bunnies on Good Friday, the bunnies gathered around the base of the cross and where Jesus was being crucified, and they drank the blood that dripped off the cross.
Oh.
Drank the puddles of
really?
Blood.
Is that true?
Jesus. I picked that up in prison. I only got really snippets of the Bible.
That's your best material.
Wow.
In the exercise yard, that's how they explain Easter.
Yeah. Boy, that's funny.
Lovely woman, this Teresa.
Thank you.
I just onanated in my devotional.
throw a yoke on her and go to town.
Still a man.
Thanks, Reverend. Yeah. I'm very flattered.
Well, Reverend John Stevens, nice work. Good stuff.
Thank you. Bless you. Bless you.
We will catch him over at St. Finbar's Sunday, doing two sets. We'll take a quick break, and speaking of bunnies, Playboy Playmate Victoria Fuller is coming in here. Talk
that was
a little
nice.
Yeah, nice.
Vegan
that
bunny.
Was so good. Smooth I was just appreciating it internally.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. You know, when people give you too much praise over nothing, makes you think you're retarded. Look at him. He didn't duke
he
himself, and he's a big 15-year-old. Yes.
I think you're doing great.
Segue from Easter Bunny
all right,
to
now
Playboy.
I'm nervous. Nice job, Reverend.
Bless you all.
Come back anytime. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Playmates after this. Hey, this is Adam Carolla for E.E. Robbins. You know, I like goofy sports analogies, so dig this. Imagine Sean Alexander decided when he was in college that he wanted to play basketball, baseball, as well as playing football. You think he would have made the pros in any of those sports, including football? Probably not. He realized he had to concentrate on one sport, and now he's an all-pro running back. It's kind of the same thing when it comes to engagement rings. The jewelry stores that sell the watches, the pearls, the rubies, the gold chains, and all that stuff probably aren't going to do engagement rings as well as someone who specializes in just engagement and wedding rings. And that's what E.E. Robbins is all about, engagement and wedding rings, which is why they have a bigger selection and sell more engagement rings than any other store in the Northwest. So, when you're ready to give her the ring of her dreams, go to the engagement ring specialist, E.E. Robbins, the engagement ring store. Check them out online at eerobbins.com.
This is Steph Buckeye. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
That's right. Victoria Fuller's here. Miss January, 1996, for Playboy. Also, in The Amazing Race with your husband. I love that show.
Did you watch it?
Yeah. The Amazing Race is, I gotta admit, I watched about half of it. The Amazing Race is one of the best shows on television that everyone recognizes is a great show, but yet hasn't captured the country's imagination. Something like, you know, it's far better than something like American Idol is. It's just one of those things where it's like a good restaurant that's not as busy is a bad restaurant that's two doors down. I don't know how that works.
And it's won two Emmys. It's the only reality show to ever win an Emmy.
That's right. It sweeps. It's
two in a row.
Yeah, it's a great show, and it's weird because it's like I love it, and everyone who sees it loves it, but somehow
it's number 40 on the list.
It doesn't get under your skin. Yes, better to be heroin than some quality product that people could take or leave. You know what I mean? Better to get people hooked, and I don't know how you do it, but it's a great show.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, what place did you come in?
I think it was fifth, but we made it to 9 episodes out of 12, so we went pretty far as far as that goes, because there was, like, non-eliminations and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Some good colossal fighting. I mean, couples never fight like they do.
That was very controversial with you.
I know, it was. Well, we were trying to make an impact, and I think we just pushed it too far.
Oh, when you go, look, me and my wife cannot back down the driveway without stopping halfway and arguing over which direction to go and then her storming out of the car. I mean, I could only imagine negotiating the streets of Rome and with the clock ticking.
And you're together 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
The whole time, even when you go to the bathroom, you can't be more than 20 feet apart, 24 hours a day.
Whoa.
And you just can't stand each other after like a week.
I can't believe you didn't get a divorce after that.
Well...
You did? No.
I mean, it was rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, we came close.
You're still together, though, now?
Yeah, we've been together 9 years.
Victoria is here. We prefer not to think of Playmates ever.
I know.
Ever getting married. I don't like to think of them doing anything.
But you mentioned it first, so I had to go
along. I brought it up, but I don't like to think of them working or defecating or picking their nose or being in relationships. Oh, you don't do any of that?
None of that.
Nope. They don't excrete any waste.
And
nothing.
Now she's being forced to endure some cold temperatures, apparently, because her black silken tank top.
Oh, how dare you on this.
She's a lovely creature. I'm not a punk. Flaxen hair.
All right. Calm down.
Blue eyes.
Victoria's here talking about the Fantasy Tower over at the Palms in Las Vegas. We saw that was under construction when we did our show from Vegas. They're doing a tower that is just for high rollers. I mean, just crazy fantasy suites with swimming pools and stripper poles and basketball courts. There really is.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's like, $5,000 a night, and I think that's for like a mid-level one,
well, the
right?
Hugh Hefner suite, which I think obviously you can only get if you're a big-time high roller, it's 10,000 square feet. It has a glass pool that goes on the outside of the building, which I don't know how that's going to play out.
Yeah.
And it's like three stories with an elevator and all that stuff, so it should be crazy. Yeah, I don't know who's going to see it.
The pool,
hopefully, I will.
The pool cantilevers out. Over
no, 50, thank you.
50 stories high.
Forget
into
it.
The desert air. It's amazing.
It's
and,
crazy.
It, and it's glass. Well, you go press your ass against that and the entire strip sees you.
Now, back to Hef for a second. Yeah. Hef, if he wants... first of all, I imagine he discourages marriage among the Playmates.
Well, he's married.
Well,
he is. Yes, he is. He's married to Kimberly Hefner. She lives next door.
Oh, they're still married?
They're still married.
I would argue, though, when your wife moves out of the house, moves off the property, and you're dating
eight
blonde chicks whose combined age is 31, maybe the relationship isn't what it was.
So you're allowed to be married.
He believes in marriage. He doesn't believe in divorce.
I see.
but you have to live the same lifestyle as he, yes? Since he has an open marriage, you must also be available
for
him.
Well, it's not open. They're just not together anymore.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And did you ever live at the mansion?
You know what? I lived there when I was shooting my centerfold, even though I live in L.A., because they just want the girls to get there on time. So I lived there for about 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
How does that work? Yeah, I understand.
Well, he was married at the time, so it was like he was off limits. You weren't allowed to
be... But he's married now.
Well, I mean, Kimberly was living in the house at the time. They were living as husband and wife. He didn't have girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
It was just her.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really off limits. I mean, now you can, like, go to dinner with him and hang out, and, you know, he's very approachable, where at the time he wasn't.
Yeah.
So it was a little lonely. I was in my little guest house.
Sure. So when you live, like, I guess you tell me how it goes, but if you're from somewhere in the sticks, you from Kentucky, you come out here, mm-hmm. you do your centerfold shoot, you move into the mansion.
There's obviously a bunny guest house for the girls out in the backyard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and even Hef doesn't go in there. It's very private, just for the girls. No men allowed in there. Mm-hmm. And then he also bought the mansion around the corner, and so a lot of girls live there when they come in from out of town. A lot of playmates live there that just don't have an apartment right now. They live there for months at a
Dave,
time.
Dave, I smell an Easter panty raid coming up with you, you and me. Get the ski mask and the rope.
You are a naughty devil.
Panty raid. Synchronized
watches. Not to be confused
watches.
With the bunny ranch. It's the bunny house.
So you, even though you live out here, mm-hmm. still had to go stay in the mansion for the 10 days
yep.
it took during your centerfold shooting yep. just because they want to keep tabs on you.
Well, they get you up really early in the morning and they drive you there. And they want to make sure that you go to bed at night and, you know,
right, so
rested.
It's almost like your team, football team before the Rose Bowl or something. They don't say just set your alarm clock. They put you in a hotel, lights out at a certain time, curfews, that kind of thing.
They're pretty serious about it. But, you know, who doesn't want to stay there? I had a great time. You can, you know, it's anything you want 24 hours a day. You just ring the bell.
Really?
Yeah.
But anything Hef wants, really, right? With the women?
You know what? I didn't hardly even see him when I was there. I
really?
See a lot more now than I did when I was shooting.
He wasn't allowed yeah. into the bunny cot. I'm trying to understand.
To
help
that.
Me understand. I'm just asking. I hope I'm not being offensive.
How do I know that was him?
Yeah, that's a good point. Could have been the gardener. Yeah, that's right. Hey, this thing smells like nachos. Oh, whatever. When in Rome.
How did Hefner discover you?
I was actually on a modeling shoot, and there was a scout there, and it was a woman, and she said, "You should be in Playboy." I'm like, "Yeah, whatever." And she took a Polaroid of me and my phone number, and Marilyn Gabowski called me the next day and said, "You should come in. I want to meet you."
She's the scary bunny
West Crypt Coast
keeper.
Editor.
Is she that one?
West Coast editor.
Bunny Wrangler.
But who's that weird skinny one that's always looking at the photos who scares me? Is that her?
That's probably Marilyn Gabowski. Yeah.
All right.
She's very talented, though.
All right.
Yeah.
You're a pro. So let me ask you a couple of questions from the Playboy Centerfold. Mm-hmm. And when I say pro, obviously.
From the Playboy Centerfold?
Mm-hmm.
From the Playboy Centerfold. Let's hear how you do
okay,
with these.
From mine?
Let's just do the obvious ones, the classics, the turn-ons.
The turn-ons? Well, my turn-ons now are much different than they were then. But mm-hmm. at the time, they were
No, go with your current.
Oh, the current ones?
Yeah.
God. Well, I'm boring now.
What do you like now?
Well, Ace, help her spice it up. What's the correct answer to this?
Well, I like traveling and I like running around on the beach naked.
Oh, that's always good.
It's always good.
You have become very conservative.
Yes.
Running nude on our beach.
Sand and nudity don't mix.
Yeah, it's solid.
Santa Monica, though.
The thing about when you say turn-ons, it's important not to, you know, you don't want to say six-pack abs and Lear jets because you're going to alienate a lot of your audience. You know, you want to focus on eyes, which is something even the ugliest guy can think he has a nice set
of. Or just myself.
Yeah, or focus on yourself. Yeah, I like to run around nude, and I like a guy with a good sense of humor.
Yeah, well, nice eyes.
Right, and nice eyes.
Nice eyes.
All right, well, what are the turn-offs, then?
Turn-offs are guys who stare. I can't stand when guys... Not in a bad... Not in a good way. Guys who stare in a bad way, like they're just rude.
I don't stare.
I hate dirty nails. Because who wants to be touched with dirty nails?
That's a good point, guys, with the grease under the cuticles.
Forget about it.
Yeah. You forgot mean people and smokers. Those are the other top. Someday someone should compile a list of these things and figure out what they've said over the years. All what right. else?
What drives you wild?
Fast cars.
Ooh.
Oh, Ace.
Yes.
Maybe you could take her for
Ferrari?
A ride.
Yeah, I have a fast car.
You do?
Yes. We'll go around the block.
Hey, we're both married. It could work.
Oh.
Working
I know that in again? We'll buy you a house. Right by my house. That's what I need. I need to get a little shack next to my house where I keep the bunnies. Yes?
No, that's where you keep the wife.
Oh, good point.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, put her in the shack. Bring the bunnies into the palace.
That's right.
Smart.
Right. This is the last one.
Okay.
The craziest place you've done it.
Oh, my God. Well, do you remember the Dre's restaurant on, I guess it was La Cienega, the old Dre's? I did it in the men's bathroom.
Wow.
Yeah. There's only one stall, and it, like, stops at your knees, and there was, like, two guys in line. It was very uncomfortable, and it was very embarrassing after we finished because then we had to walk out past
the other people in line.
Yeah.
Hot for him, embarrassing for me.
Dave, same question to you.
I don't like to reveal this
just
sort of thing.
Just do it
anyways. Say what it was. Strangest place.
I was the guy in the drays with Victoria.
Wow.
Wow.
I was kind of hoping, actually, you would ask me that.
I was kind of hoping you would say Brusca's ear, which is your pat answer for that one. That's my favorite. All right, but I got to say, Brusca, it's your fault for not wearing a knit cap, you know? You were asking for it.
We were both drunk. My aim was poor.
All right, that's
good
enough.
Christ, I'm gay. Wound up in his ear.
We're running late. I want to thank Victoria Fuller for coming in.
Thank you.
Fantasy Tower at the Palms Casino is, none of you can afford that. But what you can afford is Playboy Television. Sign up for that.
Sign up for that. You get a free book, The Playboy's Player's Guide to Poker, and you'll also be entered into the drawing that will possibly win you a spot at the opening of the Playboy Casino Club Tower, yada yada, with Hugh Hefner on the red carpet.
That's coming up, too, just a couple of months,
I think.
All right. Thank you, Victoria. We'll take a break. We'll be back with news and sports after this.
Listening to the new Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAM. If you want a Hooters gift certificate, give us a call. Dave wants to play a game with you.
A brand new game. The creation of your old pal, the sports guy, Bill Simmons. He snubbed us. And I told him when I spoke with him, I said, you will answer for your slap in the face, sir. And in the meantime, I will charge you a penalty. I will steal a game that you created. Play it on this air.
Bill Simmons, a dear friend. We met over at Jimmy Kimmel Live. The sports guy.
Yes.
An online column.
We did nothing to deserve the hi-hat he gave us when we said, come into this show. And he said, I'll give you the hi-hat instead.
Yeah, he said, good day.
That's right.
Good day, sir.
That's right. But,
good day, sir!
If you're a sports and rotisserie baseball junkie like myself, and you just can't spend enough hours on the computer reading about sports, looking up stats, finding out about your rotisserie teams, your home run leagues, and that kind of stuff, Bill Simmons is the guy for you.
Yes.
You spend a lot of time on this.
Me?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it is a weird thing when you start passing judgment on other people's hobbies and pastimes, because after all, what is your hobby and what is your pastime? So what? I would argue that there's inherently maybe more nobility to certain ones, like volunteering at a hospital, for instance, rather than being in six rotisserie leagues. But then, short of that, you like cars, this guy likes baseball.
Who's it hurting?
Yes, you like building model airplanes, he likes keeping an eye on statistics. But there is something that feels sort of sad about the whole fantasy part of the baseball thing. And I would have predicted...
I know you're too cool for school, you miss out.
Why did Shane spiral? I just asked.
I would have predicted it would have never caught on. But my God, is it big, and my God, the hours wasted at the workplace each year, and thank God it's a short 9.5-month season, so it's not a lot of productivity lost at the workplace. But every white guy with a computer between the age of 18 and 55 just sits all day checking stats.
What? So?
I'm just saying, why not just kill yourself? Go off to a nether world somewhere.
I'm not here to explain myself.
Okay. Everybody needs a hobby.
All right. We will push forward. But anyway, if you want to win some Hooters gift certificates, give us a call. Now it is time for Teresa Strasser and the news.
Al-Qaeda terrorist Zakarias Moussaoui testified at his sentencing trial yesterday that he is willing to kill Americans, quote, anytime, anywhere. According to his defense attorneys, experts will testify next week that Moussaoui is actually a paranoid schizophrenic suffering from delusions and therefore should not receive the death penalty.
Couldn't we argue, hypothetically, they always do this stuff where the guy kills six family members and then he throws them down in the basement of the house and then he sits there and calmly eats takeout food by himself in the living room, strumming a guitar and then going to bed. We always argue if the guy's insane or not. Is he clinically insane? I I would argue, yes, if you can snuff your entire family and then just go about your business while their corpses rot 8 feet underneath where you eat your dinner. I would say it's a very definition of insanity, but we have to figure out, well, was he crazy, or just kind of basic kill your family crazy, which is not the kind of crazy we deem as crazy. I could make a compelling argument that all these nutty fanatic terrorists are insane. I mean, if you're going to strap on a bomb with the C4 and head to the Starbucks in Tel Aviv, aren't you nuts?
Well, the line between religious fervor and guy talking to himself.
I know. I would argue that I could make a greater argument for the guy who just thought he was Napoleon not being crazy than I could for the crazy extremist terrorist, the suicide bomber. Isn't that the very definition of crazy? And we've really expanded our definition of crazy over the years. It used to be pretty narrow. Didn't take much.
Now you wash your hands a few too many times, you're crazy.
Yes, everyone. All right, so where the hell were we? Yes, Massawi.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm just saying the guy, as we've spoken before, has done extensive irreparable damage to himself by opening his mouth at his own trial. And you know about the part where he's talking about flying the fifth plane into the White House, but there's more. He's offended Americans even more, and we have the tape.
His day's driving his defense attorneys crazy. You know, they're like, just keep your mouth shut. You're hurting yourself. And he just keeps going worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, speaking of keep going, here we go.
We go to the Smithsonian television exhibit, steal the jacket of your Fonzie, and wear it to pick up dudes at a rough trade leather bar. Oh, I plan to sneak into the World Series and switch the baseball that is used for the first pitch with a spiked Prussian helmet filled with phlegm.
Bah.
I wanted to hijack the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile and drive it back and forth and force special needs children to watch.
You know what?
He's twisted. But, I mean, it's
creative. Right? You got to give him that.
Yeah, he really can turn a phrase.
He's the Marilyn Manson of terrorists. you do have to tip your hat to him.
Yeah.
He is quite creative. But you know what? I'm sickened by the things this guy has to say, and I've heard enough.
I meant to kidnap Barbara Bush and give her another pearl necklace.
Oh.
If you know what I mean. I wished to steal the AIDS quilt and use it as a chamois to wash and dry Hitler's six-wheel car.
Ah.
I was going to kidnap Santa Claus. What do you mean? Well, where did all those gifts come from? My mother, she told me she ate the cookies.
Mm.
Oh, I am so disillusioned.
Maybe this is what happened.
Yeah.
This is where he turned the corner. Well, again, this kind of talk, I don't need to hear more of.
I don't want to say what I was going to do to the Alamo, but from then on, they'd be calling it the Alahomo. I wanted to fix a Harlem Globetrotters game so that the Washington Generals would win.
Mm-hmm.
I intended to go to Plymouth Plantation, pretend to be an Indian, and teach the settlers.
Okay, now that's it. Not another syllable!
I plan to erect a roller coaster at Six Flags over Atlanta called the mother dog raping licking ball sucking ass biting thrower 2000.
Why did he have to put the 2000 at the end? Again, that must have been one of his earlier ideas from the mid or later 90s. But could you imagine you and your family going to Six Flags over Georgia thinking you're going to have a beautiful time, family-friendly setting. All of a sudden you approach this roller coaster and there's that kind of profanity.
It's downright offensive.
Thank goodness we captured him when we did. All right. I'm sorry, Teresa. Continue after that?
Yes, I think I can. I mean, I'm a little unsettled, but I'm going to go on. I actually have other terrorism-related news, although it's slightly more upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
An Italian porn star has offered herself to Osama bin Laden, saying, quote, "He can have me in exchange for an end to his tyranny." According to the New York Post, the porn star went on to explain that while her breasts have only helped people, bin Laden has killed thousands of people.
All right, so about a 50-50 chance he'll take her up on that. We'll get him out of his spider hole.
Yeah, I don't think, but it is a good way to get publicity if you offer to have sex with bin Laden.
Yeah, I listen, I'd have sex with him, too, if it meant helping this great nation. I'm that great a patriot and that gay. Gay-triot.
Okay, in entertainment news, Scary Movie 4 opens today.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Carmen Electra telling Tyra Banks why she loves doing the Scary Movie horror movie series.
I was 18, and I snuck into a nightclub here in Los Angeles called the Spice Club. And I wasn't supposed to be in there. I wasn't old enough, but I went anyway. So the girls, don't do that. But it worked out well for me.
Yeah.
I auditioned for a band that he was putting together, and I didn't hear back, you know, about it. So I was devastated.
Oh, this?
Crushed.
That's the wrong clip.
She's talking about meeting Prince?
That's her talking about meeting Prince.
Ah.
Whereas it should have been a clip of her talking to Tyra Banks.
Well, I'll tell you, though, Prince and Tyra could give each other a good run for the money.
For how much you hate them?
And the blowhard division, yeah.
Who do you hate more?
Wow. You know, I got to say that Prince is a colossal blowhard, but he does it without verbiage, which is interesting. Normally, blowhards have to sit there and sort of yap and boast all the time. He does it through symbols and just being a sort of pompous ass. Whereas Tyra, retiring the angel wings, putting on the fat suit, you know, for her, it's more of an overt thing. I like Tyra Banks. I know Tyra Banks, but it struck me that she is becoming quite a blowhard. I don't know. That's a tough one, Dave. What do you think?
Well, I don't have the loathing for Prince that you do. So, yeah, I'll go with Tyra. I hate
you think
that.
Why don't you have the loathing for Prince? You think he's a good guy?
No, he's fine. I'm apathetic about him.
Apathetic?
I resent him a little bit
change
for
his
being
name
5
to
foot
a symbol.
2 and betting every beauty that he desires.
Yeah,
doesn't bother you that he changed his name to a symbol and just wears the high boots?
I resent more the beauty
dry
to put
humps,
on the fat
doves.
Suits for a day and then it makes them cry to see how evil right. people
no,
are.
No, it makes yeah. doves cry.
And you like this song?
I don't hate it the way you do. I don't know why it burned such a fire in you. That
it burned like some Little Red Corvette.
Yes, but this song sucks ass.
This
right?
isn't a good song. Okay.
No. Let me explain though.
Please.
I wouldn't hate Prince if he drove a milk truck. I hate Prince because everyone universally loves Prince. Everyone calls him a genius. It's the same reason I hate the traffic reports. I don't have a loathing of traffic reports. I can't stand that nobody in society has woken up and decided we don't need to hear these things. I can't stand that no one has woken up in society and labeled this guy the pompous ass that he is. That's all I'm saying. And musically, well, you decide whether he's a genius or not.
I really liked Purple Rain, and I wanted to be Apollonia. If that has any bearing.
Well, just listen. We'll decide.
Anything?
All right. Not down with the funk. That's
yeah, I like it when it's good.
All right. It's official. Katie Holmes is a Scientologist. In an interview airing tonight on ABC's Primetime, Tom Cruise says publicly for the very first time that not only has his fiance embraced Scientology, but that her Catholic parents approve. Also, he continues his very liberal use of the word extraordinary in describing Katie Holmes. Now, I don't know, you might have been under a rock or something, but here is Tom Cruise on Oprah.
And I met her, and she's extraordinary.
It's always extraordinary with him.
Yeah. I don't like that. Yeah. Something's happened to him, but I secretly jealous.
Really?
I am. Everyone makes fun of Tom Cruise, but he seems 35 times happier than all of us.
That's a good point.
He's so happy. He's so in love.
I hate that cackling laugh that he does for everything, though.
I know, but do we all hate him because we're jealous?
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's one thing to hate Moussaoui because he's a horrible, despicable person, but we all hate Tom Cruise, too, but maybe we should hate ourselves. Or at least Prince. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the guy, first, he's in phenomenal shape. He does all his own stunts. He gets off on it. I've never seen him seem kind of bummed out or lackluster. He's riding a motorcycle. He's got a Ducati. He's riding all over town. He's in love with his old lady. He couldn't be happier about the birth of his young daughter. I mean, he makes millions of dollars. Maybe we're jealous.
Well, yes. I mean, sometimes other people's happiness makes us sad.
See, here's the problem. You don't know the history of psychiatry. I do.
Self-serious.
All right, all right.
A little bit of a blowhard.
All right, possibly.
You know.
Yeah, you get, you're down on Prince for being a blowhard, but not Prince.
Well, what about Cruise. They wanted to do the music of Prince, the American Idol, except for he wouldn't meet with any of the kids on American Idol. So they couldn't use, and they can't do that part where they shoot him meeting
like
with the kids.
Queen was so nice to the kids. Queen couldn't have been more rude to those kids.
Well, what are they going to do? Dig up Freddie? Prop him up and him fall over on the kids? His mummified corpse?
All right. That's it. Katie Holmes is a Scientologist. I am Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. Do it, Dave.
My comments will be brief so that we can play a game that I am certain is going to have a lukewarm response.
Well, Joe's on the blower. He wants to play along.
Oh, perfect.
Shall I pot him up now, or do you want to bring him up when you want?
Let me say my piece about our national pastime quickly. Dodgers yesterday, they save face in their four-game set with the Pittsburgh Bucks. Mm-hmm. They beat the junk out of the Buccos yesterday. Padres got dumped by the Marlins. Yeah. Snakes of Arizona lost to the Rockies. Mariners won in Cleveland. Oakland lost to Minnesota. Giants split their doubleheader with the Astros. But bigger news than that, more devastating than a single loss, is Barry Bonds getting his just desserts. The feds investigating if he lied. If he perjured himself when he sat before the government and mm-hmm. and said that he never knowingly took the juice.
No.
So he may go down. It'll be interesting.
What are the Dodgers now, 5-5?
That's right.
Shocking, 500. Crucial game number 11 coming up, everyone. Hope you're sitting down. Buckle in. They're 500. What a shock. Everyone's 500. What a shock. The Dodgers will be 500 perpetually. 500 to the All-Star break. 500 after. 500, 500, 500. Fantastic. It's a great sport. I'm 81 and 81. Beautiful.
No to Prince. No to baseball. Yes to Tom Cruise.
No to Tyra.
That's right.
Well done, sir. NBA. Phoenix beat Dallas. And in the NHL, 2 goals a game for the main man of the San Jose Sharks, Jonathan Chichu.
Chichu!
There he is, Chichu. We couldn't be more thrilled that he's in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Look
finally,
forward to that.
Some common ground for you and I, Dave.
Yes. Now, let's play a game, as I said earlier, created by the sports guy himself, Bill Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
I've stolen this game from him as retribution mm-hmm. for his snub of this show earlier this week. It is time now to play a game called NBA star or tech stock. A lot of similarity between guys' names, you'll find, if you look at some of the names.
Sure.
In
Bill
the
Walton.
NBA. Well, no, I'll give you some choices here. And
Larry Bird,
and the NASDAQ,
Danny Ainge,
some of the symbols you'll see on the
Kevin
on the
McHale.
NASDAQ. Now, do we have Joe?
Oh, Joe?
Yeah.
You want to play NBA star or tech stock?
Sure.
All right. There's a Hooters gift certificate in
here
balance.
We go. There's our theme music.
Uh-huh.
Just slightly different than the other music we were just playing. Here we go, Joe. You tell me. I'm going to give you a name. You tell me if it's the name of an NBA star or of a NASDAQ tech stock, all right?
Okay.
You must get 3 out of the following 5 correct. And if you do, you will receive a $50 gift certificate to Hooters. The first name. D'Alembert.
I'm going to say that's a stock.
Incorrect. Samuel D'Alembert, the center for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Mm.
Next.
Okay. Wait, does he have to get 1 to win the prize, or what's the story?
Please keep up, Bruska.
He explained the rules, but
3 out of the 5.
All right.
Masaba.
That's a stock.
Correct.
Ooh. So you got 1 right.
1 right. 3 remain. You'll have to get 2 out of those 3.
Okay.
Here we go. Orion.
NBA player?
Correct.
Nice.
That was a tough one. Orion seems to have some sort of futuristic thing.
I thought you'd it think was of a stock.
Yes, no. Orion Green of the Boston Celtics. Appropriately, the green.
Mm-hmm. So now, 2 more to go. You must get 1.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
1 out of the next 2.
That's what I said.
Here we go. Skibo.
So impressed with himself.
Skiba. Tech stock or NBA player?
Tech stock.
Correct.
Congratulations.
Wow. Impressive work. Only one incorrect.
Thank you.
$50 to Hooters. Coming your way, Joe.
Got out of the gate a little shaky, but a nice comeback. Pulled himself up off the canvas.
Did you enjoy that game, Ace?
Yeah.
We'll play it again?
It's no gay bar or motorcycle. We should play a little
that's
that,
we
too,
should
yeah.
definitely
What's
play
the
that?
Last one just for fun?
All right, let's go with one more here. Stacey Augman.
All right. All right, Joe, hang on.
Thank you.
All right, nice job. That was entertaining. We will take ourselves a break. What are you doing, Bresca?
The outro to the sports.
Oh, there we go. That's right.
Demoshek's number one sports.
Yeah, maybe we'll play. Maybe we'll play a little gay porn or motorcycle when we come back. Why not? Also, we have continuing our religious week. We have a Muslim who's going to come in here and explain how this religion works and possibly win me over. Win over the new twins.
This is the
well.
Last contestant to yes. in the religion sweepstakes.
Judaism's in the lead, but it's anyone's game.
Yeah, we'll play gay porn or motorcycle with our beautiful Muslim who comes in here after this.
Big Tad out here on the streets of Hollywood. I think you're crazy.
You think I'm crazy?
Yeah. Can you prove to me you're not crazy?
What? What kind of a question is that? I'm certainly not crazy. I'm an actor and a regular person, but I'm not an actor. And I always have this voice. From him belly nuts.
Wow. I got like a contact high from that guy. I feel high right now. Now, tell me if I mispronounce your name, Serene?
Yeah.
Sawaf.
Excellent.
Serene Sawaf.
There's the applause.
I like that. You are a Muslim. You are part of the Muslim Public Affairs Council and Hate Crimes Prevention Coordinator. Yes?
That's perfect.
So you know about this religion. We need somebody who can represent, who can straighten us out. Mm. I'd like, you know, we have a limited amount of time. I'd like to have you back, provided you're super funny. And
No pressure.
Into this a little bit, because I think there's a lot of misnomers about the Muslim religion. I'm having twins, as you may have heard.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Flo and Eddie, what did we figure out with...
Rumpel.
Oh, yeah, Rip and Rumpel.
Right.
Rip
oh,
and
so
Rumpel,
sweet.
My
yeah.
twins. Yeah. And I'd like them to be spiritual. I'd like to have a religion for the kids. I don't want them to be atheists like their bitter pops. Mm. Perhaps Muslim would work.
Perhaps.
What are the big beats? What do we need to do? What do we need to know about your religion?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's important to make clear that I'm not here to try to convert, because I could care less. I'm happy for your
apathy,
children.
Apathy, I like that. Is that part of the religion? Is that a personality trait of your own, or is that generally part of the religion? Because I like
frankly,
that.
Frankly, we have enough trouble as it is. But
yeah.
but also that Islam is for people who choose to be a Muslim.
Well,
to submit themselves.
But when you're kids, you can force anything up the tukai. I mean, that's how all religion works.
Yeah,
they're all nutty, they're all goofy.
Will soon grow up and make a decision.
No, they won't. They'll just be like the stupid Christian kids, you know? How do you think religion works?
Ouch.
Indoctrinate your kids into this fairy tale early and often, and they believe it, and then they indoctrinate their kids into it before you know there's millions of you.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't mean not your religion.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right,
but,
of course.
Of course, I'm talking about other ones.
Right.
But that's how religion works. They'll take whatever I give them.
I think if you really cultivate an environment for children to learn and think and apply critical thinking and question mom and dad once in a while, especially when they get older, especially when they start to think in terms of out of the box, in terms of what's right for them, what makes sense, they might stumble across Islam. Why? Because it makes sense to the mind. It feels good to the heart, and it provides a forum for social justice and responsibility.
Now, I would argue with you about the critical thinking part. I say give it to them early and let them just devour it, just like a language.
Absolutely.
You know? That'll be the one they speak.
Yeah.
So what are some of the big beats here?
In his daily life,
yeah,
as a Muslim.
What do I have to do?
Well, doing is one thing. Doing action is always based off of the understanding. So when I go to kids and I talk to them about Islam, mm-hmm. K-12, it's about the two G's, right? It's about believing in God, but also doing good things.
Mm-hmm.
So not just the belief and then putting yourself inside of a circular world, but rather venturing outside of that because you realize there's a responsibility to give back and to your community.
Do you have a day that, you know, we have to kind of lay off?
Fasting.
You know what I mean?
Not like the Sabbath, but we have Ramadan, which is actually marks the revelation of the Quran, which Muslims view as the holy, the word of God given through Angel Gabriel to Muhammad.
That's the whole, is that a whole month?
Yeah, it's a full month, and we're on a lunar calendar, so you'll find it rotating on
the Gregorian. I don't know much about Ramadan, only Bush usually agrees to stop bombing. That's how I know when it's Ramadan. He announces, well, we're going to not bomb some Muslim world for a few weeks. Give him that, and then it's back to the carpet bombing.
Maybe for a day or so, yeah.
Yeah, give him a day. Let the dust settle. Let him out, celebrate.
By the way, Serene is a pretty hip Muslim.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's got a casual way, pleasant demeanor.
Yeah.
She offered me
a nip from her flask before we came in. A little something to take the edge off,
and she looks kind of like, by the way, you look kind of like Brittany Murphy.
Yes, she has a very sweet smile.
Brittany Murphy from 8 Mile and many other pictures, except with the headdress.
Hot.
The headdress.
Well, seems nutty, but hot.
Contract me and I'll be in the next.
Now, what about something like that Danish cartoon uproar?
Well, yeah.
If I was Muslim, would I have to get uptight about that, or could I let it slide?
Well, hold on. Now, back up. First of all, the problem was not just with the fact that there's a depiction. The mm-hmm. debate was framed as though that Muslims reject freedom of speech, which mm-hmm. is outrageous. Muslims mm-hmm. from the beginning of Muhammad's message, pushed for freedom of speech. In the beginning, like any other prophet, he was persecuted. But later down the line, when they went to Medina and sought protection under a Christian leader, they were able to talk about Islam freely. And so that was really a cornerstone of Islam.
So freedom of speech is a cornerstone of Islam?
Absolutely. And when you look at the debate, the way it's being framed, it's really funny because I was at a USC forum with ultra-conservative two spokespeople, mm-hmm. Which I don't choose to name them and give them any more publicity. As a matter of fact, their publicity is dropping, but which is great.
Rip and Rumpel, I'll say.
Rip and Rumpel were there.
I'm sorry for stopping. I don't want to digress too much, but was that the Danish cartoon upsetting to you or not?
I think so, especially given my understanding of my department, hate speech. That's what mm-hmm. I would call it.
You'll call that
certainly
hate speech.
Certainly, we promote freedom of speech, and I don't promote the seeing what happens in Europe happen here, where there are laws against, attacking the Anglo-Saxon church verbally. Mm-hmm. There are laws, anti-Holocaust denial laws, where people can't say that. So there are affronts to freedom of speech. But you look at that, and you look at the double standard in Europe, where they don't have any of those protections set up for Muslims, people have become really upset. That's one point. Another one is really that the nature of the pictures, right? They were really provocative. And if anyone can go online and find them.
They can.
Yeah.
Well,
and,
not me.
And
barely find porn. Barely.
Well, and so they're provocative, and so it's not just a matter of speech. We have evolved.
So I'm just saying, in a nutshell, I'm offended now. I mean, if I'm going Muslim, I should be offended.
You should be offended as a person of conscience, because they're outrageous, you know?
Well, you could argue that, but I don't think we look at it that way. The non-Muslims don't look at that as outrageous, especially since we're used to seeing our God dipped in wee-wee. By some gay photographer in San Francisco, we're over it. Yeah, we pay for that kind of stuff. At least you didn't actually pay this guy to draw.
No, of course. Yeah. But that same paper refused to put a picture of Jesus that was derogatory. Publish a picture of Jesus, which okay, that's great. They use their discretion.
What was the picture? Was he on a crap or something?
I think it was of the Last Supper. Correct me. I might be. I'll have to go back into my.
I'm an atheist
database,
too, so I really I may be white, but I don't have anything going on with Jesus, so that's part of the problem.
I'm just talking about the double standard.
All right. I'm just saying, I can be outraged, but I can be outraged when I'm watching TiVo. I don't want to have to take to the streets.
No doubt. Oh, okay. And the whole taking to the streets in a violent way is something that
I didn't
want
to do it in a nice way. It's just taking to the streets is a real-time
killer.
People
have condemned it across the board, all of the violence.
All right. And a lot of good things have happened,
You almost took to the streets because you found the football scenes and on any given Sunday unrealistic.
I did. I will. Now we have many more things to talk about. So far, I got to say I'm on the fence with the whole Muslim thing.
Can I quickly talk about the depictions? The reason that they're you don't see those in the history of Islam is because, number one, it rejects tribalism and so racism and superiority. Going and putting a picture, we have debates here where whether Jesus is white or black, and so Islam has refrained from that completely by not depicting any image of any prophet or God.
What do you think? What color do you think Muhammad was, though?
I mean, I don't really care. It's not a matter of...
I'm going black on this one. I mean, I'm doing the Muhammad math.
Everybody back then was white Muhammad.
Everyone was brown.
It's similar to the hijab, what I'm wearing, a headscarf. You're trying to encourage people to focus beyond just the image. Maybe initially it might
Speaking of the chicks, can I take more than one wife if I go Muslim?
If you are a literalist and you lack an understanding of the religion,
definitely go literalist.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
But if you understand the context, absolutely.
Hold on. Quiet, woman.
No, you didn't.
Yes.
Islam actually came to elevate the status of women.
Wow.
And
it's working like a charm.
It's
fantastic.
It's not going that well.
And you got it, not recently, but you judge a religion by its history, its civilization, not by the exceptions.
In the year 317, they were very forward.
Sure, several thousand years haven't been great, but come on, let's not rush to judgment.
Well, and then also, these people are tyrants that are abusing their power. People that have the authority, like the Taliban, right, self-proclaimed leadership that are imposing things on the people. Forget the verse in the Quran, right, that all Muslims acknowledge. It says there's no compulsion in matters of faith, right? So
I'm not joining up. That's not my branch.
Yeah.
I'm going to go more the multiple wives, not take to the street.
Yeah, but we got to think of a name for you, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We got to figure out what yours is going to be if you do this.
Yeah,
go from Clay to
Ali. Oh, you have to pick up a name.
Ali,
yeah.
Right.
Well, I have to pick up a name.
No,
you have to.
I'm telling you my name if I go Muslim.
What is it?
Duke Lacrosse.
That's your porno name.
I don't think that works.
What's it works? All right, we need to take a break.
You don't want to have too many names.
Serene Sawaf, Duke Lacrosse. That's all.
And you're going to have the commercial to think about this. Could Muhammad beat Jesus in a fight?
Dave, please, I'll offend the guests. Take a quick break. Be back to decide on my religion after this.
Hi, this is Gene Simmons, and you're listening to Who Else? The Adam Carolla Show.
So many questions, so little time. Here with Serene Sawaf. She's Muslim. She's an expert. We were talking before we went to break about if I went, I'd have to pick up a Muslim name. We decided to sort of compromise during the commercial and go with Abdul Lacrosse.
Or Duke Abdul Lacrosse.
Duke Abdul Lacrosse.
It doesn't seem in the spirit of...
Hold on. You had an entire commercial break to come up with that?
Oh, no, there are more.
Well, that's enough.
Really?
Saturn Corolla.
Sam Carolla. We were laughing, though, that...
Malcolm Gas X. So,
all right, that's enough. So,
Osama bin Napping.
Ooh.
My dog is Osama never bin Laden. Better?
Tad, Yasser Arafat ass.
Oh, yeah. Touche. We'd often laughed, or I'd laughed, that the guys with some of the coolest names switch to Muslim names. Like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar used to be Luau Cinder.
Yeah.
Great name. And, of course, Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay. These are spectacular names that have been given away. Cat Stevens. What a name Cat Stevens is. To abandon that.
I like some Muslim names.
Yeah, I thought guys like NASCAR great Dick Trickle should maybe go Muslim. Maybe give up.
That name.
Another one that's never really thought about is Harry Shearer. Harry Shearer should go Muslim. If your name Harry or Dick, let's go ahead and abandon that and go Muslim. But if your name is Cassius, that's a keeper.
That's a shame to get
rid of. Yeah, I don't want to tell you how to run your religion, but the first thing I would do when I was in charge is start laying down some of these mandates. People, we need to focus. Forget about these cartoonists. Let's focus on the names. Yes?
Because that's what's really plaguing the world.
It's called prioritizing,
yeah,
sweetness.
Yeah, right.
You
right.
And my six wives will understand.
Four. That's four.
I will take you as one. Are you married woman?
I am married. Happily.
Mm,
yeah,
really?
He's great.
Mm-hmm. Muslim man himself?
He's Muslim. He looks Caucasian, so people sometimes mistake him. But
Does he have a good name?
Yeah, his name is Yamin, and the last name is Nanny.
Ooh.
So people don't necessarily pick him out of the bunch.
Mm-hmm. He's not Yamin Ali. Nanny.
Yamin LaCrosse. Well, again, we're at the end of the religious week. I have the twins coming.
So over the course of the weekend, maybe you should take the weekend and render your decision Monday.
We talked a little Buddhism. I don't think you got any problem with those people. They're confused. Most of them are high, quite frankly. They don't know what's going on over there.
Then the figurehead is a morbidly obese man.
He's got an incense holder for a figurehead.
It's Nirvana.
Nothing to worry about those people. The Jews, I don't know if you heard of them, but they got something going on over there. They got a religion over there. I say it's not bad. It does involve some pretty good noshing, as they call it, so that's a front runner. And like I said, their Sabbath is Saturday, so it's college football. I think I could do with that. Mm. You guys with the praying five times a day, not so sure. Could I do that while I'm driving?
If you are ready to get in an accident. I think the five times a day, there are time allotments so that it's flexible. A
couple of minutes?
A minute or two, whatever you like. And the whole concept is to break out of your routine and remember God. And where king and peasant stand side by side and kneel before God and say,
but how about
God,
I symbolically kneel while I'm going number one? For instance, I mean, do I have to actually get down on the floor?
Well, when you pray, number one's up to you. But when you pray, you actually put your head on the floor as low as that, because it's a reminder of how.
That's why you have to bring your prayer mat with you, right?
Right. You bring a prayer mat and you go down to the floor because that's the lowest you can be. And the whole concept is God is greater than everything else.
Is it offensive to use a yoga mat for a prayer mat? Has a little extra padding. And plus, you keep it in the car. You're getting a down dog. You say hello to
one stone. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
Increase your flexibility and your closeness with Allah.
So you have a lot to think about over the weekend.
Plus, you get
the name change. That's, I think, the best feature so far.
Yeah, Serene, thank you very much for coming. I'd like to have you back in general just to talk about the Muslim religion. Do me a favor, punch the Hooters punching bag
Pretend you're Muhammad and the punching bag is Jesus.
Oh, come on. That wouldn't be right.
Now, keep in mind, the rabbi, your arch nemesis, got 65, so you got that to beat. But I think you could do that with your forehead.
I can't punch without saying I love all people. And Muslims look at Christians and Jews as people of the book, and so because they continue in that monotheistic tradition. And anyone who believes in one God, the creator, is in that same category.
That's not a good hand to go into a punch
with.
You have to think about something.
Yeah, get angry.
Get angry like at that Dana newspaper.
Sizing it up.
She jabbed at it.
Nice.
The rabbi better hope you didn't beat. 63, you lost to the rabbi by 2 points, but you jabbed. The rabbi threw a wicked cross.
Oh, the haymaker.
One more shot?
Sure. One more shot. All right. Thanks where thanks are due, by the way. I want to thank Sherman Helmsley for... now maybe that was a better shot. See where that goes. Elise Eberwein.
Oh! 72.
Robert Wolf. Kick the crap out of the rabbi. Good work. Victoria Fuller. Playmate. Serene Sawaf. Thank you for coming in. And, of course, the very funny Reverend John Stevens. We'll come up. We'll render a verdict on these religions on Monday. Until next time, this is Adam saying... Mahalo.